yani şu bağlamlar onu topar ibrahim vesaire aşağı ota şöyle çürük yılan abey canlar önünde bakı yedanında gosvam maharashiyle prabhupada ki jayonna kirila pravishta vishnu pada paramahamsa parivrajakacharya ashtamutra shada shri shiman bhakta siddhanta sarasvati maharashiyle prabhupada ki anandakodi vaishnava vrinda ki namacharya shila haridas thakur ki prem saho shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shrivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda ki శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమాంశుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలె శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంబికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సవధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాం చ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామిని శ్రీవర్షభానవి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీ గౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనతారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంభోదే పాదాంబుజాయతే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామినే గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయతే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్త్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియాః వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయతే నమః వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరతుషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తియం కృష్ణకరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే జయతాం సురతౌభాంగోర్ మమ మందమదే అర్గది
മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജൌ രാധാ മദനമോഹനവും ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യ കൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ത് രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമന്ത് രാധാ ശ്രീല ഗോവിന്ദ ദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന് രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷന് വേണുസ്വനിർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയേസ്തുനാഃ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ
This is humming sound. So, അനന്യശ്ചിന്തയന്തോ മാം യേ ജനാ പരിപാസതേ തേഷാം നിത്യാഭിയുക്താനാം യോഗക്ഷേമം വഹാമ്യഹം. കൃഷ്ണ വാസ് സേയിങ് ടു അർജുന, വിച്ച് വി ഹാവ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ലാസ്റ്റ് ഫ്യൂ ക്ലാസ്സസ്, ദിസ് പെർട്ടിക്കുലർ വേഴ്സ്. സോ ഫ്രം ഓൾ ദോസ് എക്സാമ്പിൾസ് വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് ലുക്ക്ഡ് അറ്റ്, യു കെൻ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് that Krishna says that ananya chindayandomam, that ananyatvam is the most important thing in that verse. You notice that ananyatvam, what does ananyatvam means? Ananyatvam means, Narada Maharshi's definition is anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. That is his definition. That means that when you have lost all other shelter, that means there is no shelter anywhere in this creation, including your own body. In other words, you have totally come into identification with the soul, with the self, in other words. When the identification with the self is complete, that means there is no more shelter anywhere else. Because once you have become that, then there is no more shelter needed anywhere. You have become that, the truth, absolute truth. That means the ananyatvam comes from that. Ananyatvam comes from that. By freeing yourself from the grip of the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego and the world and the senses, everything. All the asat you have given up and you have come to the platform of the sat. Automatically, that is ananyatvam. Ananyatvam means that. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. This is what that verse is talking about. We have seen several examples in that, isn't it? Several examples we have discussed of these examples of ananyatvam. Then ananyatvam is the most important thing discussed in that verse. അനന്യശ്ചിന്തയന്തോ മാം യേ ജനാം പരിഭാസതേ തേഷാം നിത്യാഭിയുക്താനാം യോഗക്ഷേമം മഹാമ്യഹം. വി ഹാവ് ലുക്ക്ഡ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ഡീറ്റെയിൽ. യു കെൻ സി ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത് സേസ് സ സാമ്രാട് ഭവതി സ സ്വരാട് ഭവതി സ സർവേഷു ലോകേഷു കാമചാരോ ഭവതി. ഹൃദാരണ്യം മെൻഷൻസ് ദാറ്റ്. സോ ഹൗ ദോസ് പീപ്പിൾ, ദോസ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റീസ് ഹു ആർ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്, ഹൗ ഡു ദേ മൂവ് അറൌണ്ട് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്? ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ്. ദോസ് ഹു ആർ കം ടു ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്, ഹൗ ഡു ദേ ലിവ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്? ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് തിങ്. ബിക്കോസ് ദേ നോ വെരി വെൽ that force behind all this, they will take care, everything will be taken care of by that force, by that force everything will be taken care of. If you look into the this Bhagavad Gita is not only a Vaishnava literature, it's also applicable to all other denominations in the Vedic traditions, whether they belong to the Shaiva traditions or they belong to the Shakti traditions, Ganapatyam, Sauviram, Kaumaram, doesn't matter which part of the Vedic tradition, Bhagavad Gita is accepted by everybody. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita actually speaks from the platform of the soul, not from the platform of the body. So therefore, even if you look into the in the Shaiva traditions, the famous devotees, Apar, Sambandhar, Jnana Sambandhar, Manikya Vachakar, and many others, they also spoke in the same way. They are saying there, whether it is Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, doesn't matter which day it is, that they have come to the stage that they will be taken care of. It doesn't matter. Because sometimes we say some days are auspicious, some days are not auspicious. People have this different conceptions about the days. And similarly, that is based on the planet, isn't it? Sun planet, moon planet, like that. So based on the planet, people have different preferences. Certain planetary positions are favorable, certain planetary positions are unfavorable. But they are saying here that it does not matter what day it is. Bhikshu Gita also says the same thing. Nayam janome sukadukha hedu na devadalpa graha karma kalam graham karmam kalam. None of them has any impact or influence on that. Why? Because they have gone beyond this, gone beyond the planets, beyond karmam, beyond the kalam, time, everything. That is a stage. That is self-realization. Means that you reach a stage where you don't have to be affected by any of these things. You have bypassed all of them already. You have transcended them. So where this is coming from, they do not have in, they have taken complete shelter of the, they feel that shelter, they feel the shelter of in the identification with the soul, identification of the soul, because they are holding on to the absolute truth. None of the other things which are false, what is false? False is the world. World is false. Or, and nobody else who have either the world or the senses or the sense enjoyment cannot have any impact on them. This is the primary thing. That because they have gone beyond the planets, beyond the influence of the planets, influence of the time, influence of karmam, all these things they have crossed beyond than that. Therefore, there is no impact of the world on them. World on them. That is why Krishna is saying there, yogakshemam mahamyaham, means that yogakshemam means it's not just being cared for in this world. What actually it means is that these personalities who have realized the, who have come to this ananyaschindayandomam state, ananyatvam has come to them, that means they are not anymore affected by any of the other changes, what's happening in the world. What's happening in the world. So, their strong conviction, or in other words, their realization more than conviction, is this, that that force that is keeping this creation going, that is given birth to this body, from whom the mind and intelligence, everything is coming from, all these things are nothing but a force which is behind that, and they are fixed in that force, and therefore there is no disturbances anymore inside. There's no more disturbances inside. So, avidushaha. So, actually that state, ananyatvam, is oneness. Ananyatvam is oneness. If there is two, there is always fear. There is always a fear will come. Fear will develop from that. So, therefore, anyosam iti deham dehaso. In the Upanishads, it says, pashuhu. They are like animals who are holding on to any devadas. Any devadas or any form that they are holding on to, it will eventually control them. You can see that. You will see when we study this verse and the next verse, how closely they are connected. This particular verse, ananyaschindayandomam, that is verse 22. And the next verse, they are closely connected. Because what Krishna is saying here is that if you worship devadas, any form, temporarily they will give you some benefit. Whatever benefit you are looking for, every devata, it is the same. They'll give you something and you will get trapped in that form. You won't go beyond than that. You will get stuck there. So, and therefore, either the devata, any form or any sense enjoyment also will hold you back here. So, the only way to win over that position is that to become that person. To become that person. I'll explain that more, how to understand that. A particular form, people worship different forms of the truth in different ways. People worship Vishnu, people worship Shiva, people worship Rama, people worship Krishna, people worship Sri Parvati, and so many different forms of the truth is worshipped, isn't it? So, as long as you are stuck with a particular form, what will happen is, Shruti says he is a Kripana. If you are stuck in that form. Why? Because you cannot go beyond than that. What is the next thing? Because there are so many forms here. Brahmam taparabhava kshatram. The Brahadaranyam says. So, one day that form will also leave him. Form cannot stay with you forever. Form it cannot stay with you before. So, when you see the absolute truth or Brahmam, in that state, that it is not different from the truth what is inside us. What is inside us? This is very, very important. If you see any form externally and you get stuck with that, realization will never be complete. Because like everything else, that form will also go one day. What is permanent here in all these things? It's your own awareness. That's the only thing that is permanent all the time, isn't it? Normally, we call ourselves as the body, isn't it? We identify with the body and address ourselves as the body. Yeah, but is this body ours, actually? How much do we know about this body? What goes on inside this body? Suppose, we mentioned this before also, suppose somebody has cut open my stomach and took out the liver, intestines, everything. And there are many other liver and intestine lying there, and I put it together with that. And they ask me to pick up mine. I won't be able to do that, would I? I won't know which one is mine. This is how much connection I got with my body. Everything is like that. We are somehow, this is called avidya. Somehow or the other, we have identified with the body. And if you ask how did it happen, there is no answer to that. Because reason is this, that actually there is no connection between the body and me. This is the truth. Truth is that I have no connection with the body. But due to avidya inside, ajnanam inside, I have identified with the body. That is the reason. The only place where I have identification, what is my real identity, is the soul only. Nothing else. Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego. None of them. Because I am identifying with the ego, all the other false identification also has come. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, when you do not see anything separate from that me, what is that me? The soul, the awareness, consciousness, avabhodam or spurti, various names in the Upanishads and the Bhagavatam, they use that word. Prajna, spurti, avabhodam, consciousness, atma, all this refers to the same and one and same thing. As much as we are in union with that, we don't feel a separate existence. But the moment you separate yourself from that and exist separately, then any form you are worshipping outside, that form is also not permanent as much as you are not permanent. You are feeling separately from the truth. Truth is only one thing, that is the soul inside. That's the only reality. That is why Krishna is saying here that as long as you have realize the truth in unity with the soul inside, then Krishna says yogakshemam vahamyaham. Only in that situation that yogam and kshemam applies, not otherwise. Otherwise, it will be happen in the, Krishna says in the very next verse, Epi anya devada bhakta yajande shradhayanida tepi mam eva kondaya yajandi avidhipurvagam. Look at the verse, next verse. Next verse is saying, if anya devada bhakta, anybody if you see separated from the soul, ananyatvam comes. Anyatvam comes there, not ananyatvam. Anyatvam comes. If anyatvam comes, then that means, if you start seeing anyone separately from the soul inside. In other words, any time when we are in front of the deity, the proper understanding is Krishna who is standing there is the soul inside me. This relationship has to be there. Krishna who is standing in the form of the deity outside is the personality who is inside me as the soul. If you break away from that, then you are in trouble. Then you won't get to that state of ananyatvam. That is what Krishna is mentioning here. So in many, many devotees' life, this was a reality. This has happened in the same situation. So what you have to understand here is, even if you worship another form outside, doesn't matter which form it is, and if you are feeling that bhakti inside, where is the bhakti coming from? Bhakti is not coming from that murti or the form. Bhakti is coming from the soul inside. It's coming from the soul inside. So, similarly, therefore, one instance, one great devotee, he was a devotee of Kali. And he worshipped Kali to such an extent that Kali has given him the vision and spoken to him many instances. But he was finding that difficult to go beyond than that state of relationship with the Kali. So, Andaryami inside, that means the soul inside, he takes the form outside and comes and speaks to you in different forms, whether it is in the form of Sri Parvati or any other form. So, any other form, whichever you may worship, any form which you worship, who gives the truth to that form? The soul. The soul inside gives the reality to that form. For example, you have a form of any form, Krishna's form or Vishnu's form or Narasimha's form or any form you are worshipping outside. You know very well that is stone. In your proper understanding, it was made of stone. But you are able to accept that is Krishna or that is Ramachandra. How you are able to do that? Who gives the truth to that form? Soul gives it from inside. This is why it is important. If the soul from whom this message doesn't come, that the form standing in front of you is Krishna, you are not able to accept that. Who is accepting it? The soul inside is accepting that. So it is him who is more important. Do you understand that? That it is not the form. Any form you can make and keep it there. Doesn't matter what form you keep it. Krishna's form, Vishnu's form, Narasimhamurti's form or Shiva's form or Devi's form or whatever form you may worship from inside. But when you are worshipping, you are giving what is known as Satyatvam. Satyatvam means truthfulness to that form. You are accepting that as the truth, isn't it? That's what you are doing in your bhakti. Bhakti state, what's happening is, this is the form of Krishna, I am accepting it that way. So, who is accepting that? Andaryami inside is accepting that. It is from Andaryami that truthfulness is coming. That acceptance of the truth is coming from the Andaryami. Therefore, it is that Andaryami who gives the truthfulness to everything in the creation, including that form. If the truthfulness is not coming from, yes, it exists, that is that form. That confirmation is coming from inside, from the soul. Therefore, in the Brahadaranyam it says, Satyasya Satyam. Satyasya Satyam. That is how it is addressed. Satyasya Satyam. That means that gives Satyam to everything else. That Satyam is the Satyam. Paramatma, Andaryami inside is that Satyam which gives Satyam to everything else. You feel the reality in everything else. Where is that reality coming from? From that Satyam. If you see when Brahma came to see Krishna at the time of appearance, there is what is known as Garbhastuti. Garbhastuti means, in the womb of Mother Devaki, Krishna was glorified by Brahma. How did he glorify? Satyavradam, Satyavaram, Trasatyam. सत्यस्य सत्यं निहितं च सत्ये सत्यस्य सत्यं हृदसत्यनेत्रं सत्यात्मकं त्वां शरणं प्रपन्नाः. You will see there. Giving that satyam, the source is here. It is from there everything else gets a satyam. Other things you feel as though it is satyam because it is coming from the source of satyam. It is not because of the object you feel it is satyam. It is because inside Antaryami is recognizing that as satyam. That is where it is coming from. That's where it is coming from. So, satyasya satyam nihidanja satye satyasya satyam hrida satya netram satyal magam tuam sharanam prabannaha. Brahma says to Krishna this, that you are that satyam who is present inside every one of us, who actually project that satyatvam or truthfulness or to another object. Otherwise, it is not satyam. Otherwise, it is not satyam. So, the same word is used in Brihadaranyakaupanishad as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyasya satyam. Satyasya satyam. So, there is a lot of very extensive commentaries on these words. Satyasya satyam. So, just like you can see, we are seeing so many objects in this world. So, but knowing the objects is no good. That's not good enough. The person who is experiencing the object is more important. Drikka is more important. So, why? Because satyam is in the person who is seeing that, not in the object. This is the important thing. We see so many things in this world, but actually you can see that who is experiencing the truth in all these things? That is more important. Who is experiencing it? Because it is in him that it is there that the real satyam is. Because from him, he is feeling that satyatvam in the object. Otherwise you can't. If Krishna does not reveal from inside the truthfulness of that object, you are not able to experience it as a truth. Experience it as a truth. What is happening is that satyam, what is inside, it reflects in the object and we are saying it is satyam. Like if you see the deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deity there, you are looking at the deity and we are saying it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is saying that? From inside Antaryami is saying that. Otherwise it is metal, a form in metal. But it becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when inside Antaryami says that to us, it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the satyatvam of that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given to the deity by the Antaryami inside. That's why it's important. Satyatvam comes from here. That is why in the Bhagavadam, when you look at it, you will see satyavradam satyavaram trisatyam satyasya satyam nihidanja satye satyartya satyam hrida satya netram satyatmagam tvam sharanam prapannaha. That one verse in the Bhagavadam is a very important verse. Because in Lord Brahma, when he wanted to talk about Krishna, he wanted to address him as the truth itself. That Krishna who is present inside of everyone as the soul, he is the satyam. All other satyam is a reflection of that satyam on the product, what we are projecting onto that. So, what is reflecting of that truth inside? What is that truth? Truth is this. Awareness, isn't it? That awareness, avabodham. Avabodham it is called. Sandram, Anandam, Avabodham. That Avabodham, awareness, we are projecting onto an object and we say it is Satyam. But Satyam is not coming from the object, it is coming from the Antaryami. It's coming from the Antaryami. Because actually whatever we see is not Satyam. Is not Satyam. So, and on the other hand, the person who is seeing, he is eternal. The person who is seeing is eternal because this awareness is eternal, isn't it? Awareness is eternal. It is not pratiti. Awareness is eternal. Awareness comes from the soul. Only soul can provide you that awareness. We have talked about this many, many times. You have to keep repeating this because this awareness, what you are experiencing, that's the only thing what you can say it's your own. Nothing else is your own. That awareness is the only thing what you have got as your own, what I have got as my own. Body is not yours. Mind is not yours. Intelligence is not yours. Ego is not yours. Senses are not yours. Nothing is yours. What you can say always with you is yours, and that is this awareness. Awareness is the only thing that is always with you, and therefore it's yours. You cannot say body is yours. Body will be taken out of you one day. Mind will be taken away from you. All those things are forces that's coming from the same source. Normally when we say mind, intelligence, ego and senses, all these things, we see them as separate, isn't it? Actually, they are not separate. They are one and the same thing. They are one and the same thing. That force which comes from the soul, when it creates chittavritti, it's called mind. When it starts discriminating, it's called intelligence. When it starts developing, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, it's false ego. When it starts thinking that it creates vasanas and others, it's chittam, chittavritti. Vastu is the same. There is no separate boxes there inside. This is mind. This is... Okay, scientists will say brain is here, mind is here. That's all rubbish. It doesn't mean anything. That's their way of looking through the body, everything. We don't look through the body. We look from the soul, what everything else is coming from. So that force, what's coming from inside, that grows into different ways when it functions. Then we call it, sometimes we call it as mind. Sometimes we call it as intelligence. Sometimes as ego. Sometimes as chittam. Like that, in different way we address that. So satyam, that means satyam, the truth, is in the person who is seeing it and not in the object. This, if you understand, it's good. If you understand that, the truth is in the person who is seeing it, not in the object. Normally, how do we see? We see the form and we say, oh, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We simply accept it. Somebody has told us that it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Isn't it? But who confirms that? Confirmation is from inside. If he says only, you can accept. If he has not accepted it, no matter millions of people says in this world, it won't become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It will remain as a metal form. It won't be a deity, or it won't be Krishna for us. So that person who is accepting inside, that is satyam. In other words, person who is seeing is important, not the object what he is seeing. Drik is important, drishyam is not important. This is the Vedanta. Krishna's words are very strong on these things. If you read through Ekadasha Skandam, you will see this a lot more stressed about this. That when the truth inside, if it is projected on something, it is not the object that is giving you that recognition, acceptance. It is coming from the source inside, from the drik, not from the drishyam. Drikya means the seer, and drishyam means the seen, the object. So drikya, that person who is seeing, Once somebody real identifies with that drik, atma, then ananyatvam comes to him. So, and at that point, all distress will leave him. Once you have come to that state of identifying with the drik, the seer, then all distress will leave him at that point. No distress can remain after that. This is the principle. No distress can remain after that. That is why Krishna will mention that. You will see in the, I think, fourth chapter or something, Jnani Tvaltmeiva Me Matam, Krishna says. Remember? Jnani Tvaltmeiva Me Matam, Astida Sahayuktaltma, Ma Mevan Uttamam Gadim. If you look at that verse, why does Krishna say like that? Jnani Tvaltmeiva Me Matam, that is the verse in the, seven eighteen, is it? Okay. 718. Yeah. Udara sarva evaide yani tvaltmeva me madam. Astida sahayuktaltma mam eva uttamam gadim. He says all those devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider verily to dwell in me. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he attains me. Now, Udara Sarva Evaide, Jnani Twalmaiva Me Matam. Krishna says that Jnani is non different. Twalmaiva Me Matam. He is my soul. He is me. Krishna says that about the Jnani. Astida Sahayuktalma. Because he is situated in that state, he says, Mameva Uttamam Gatim. Therefore, you can see from the, when we understand the absolute truth, that is that chapter is titled as, knowledge of the absolute, isn't it? This is how you have to understand the absolute truth. Otherwise, if you simply start thinking that, oh, I've seen the temple, Radha Landa Nishwara, one person will say Radha Landa Nishwara is the truth. Another person will say, no, he is not the truth, Radha Gogulananda is the truth. Or somebody else will say something else is the truth. That is not how we realize the truth. Truth is realized in this way, like Krishna is saying here, prior verse, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta. In the verse before that, he says, Tesham Jnani Yukta Yukta Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyade Priyohi Jnano Thyartam Aham Sacha Mama Priya. The verse just before, 17th one. Of these, the wise one who is in full knowledge in union with me, in union with me, through pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. You must not think here purely in the form of personalities. Here it is purely on a spiritual level Krishna is saying this. That means if you are come to the platform of the soul and if your identification with the soul is complete, Krishna is saying, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishade. That Ananyatvam is Eka Bhakti. What Ananyatvam in this verse mentioned is that Eka Bhaktir Vishishade. Priyohi, he is very dear because Jnanino Thyartam Aham Sacha Mama Priya. Me and him has become one there. There is no separation after that. To that extent, he is close to me. When you become one with someone, you are that close, you can't be separated from him anymore. To that extent, you have come closer to him, to Krishna. That is why Krishna is saying, Jnani and me are non-different. In so many places he says this. Jnani is non-different from me. Why does Krishna say like that? Because it is at that stage, Priyohi Jnanino Thyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priya. He is dear to me and I am dear to him. In other words, we are that close together. We are together. So it is based on those two verses. You can see Krishna is saying this. Priyohi Jnaninortartam Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. Now you look at the next verse. Yepyanya Devada Bhaktaha Yajande Shraddhayanvidaha Tebi Mameva Kaundeya Yajandya Vidhi Purvakam Yepyanya Devada Bhaktaha Yajande Shraddhayanvidaha Tepi Mameva Kaundeya Yajandhya Vidhi Purvakam Epi Anya Devada Bhaktaha Yajande Shraddhayanvidaha Tepi Mameva Kaundeya Yajandhi Avidhi Purvakam. Krishna is saying those two verses are very closely connected because it is from the last verse this verse has come in order to substantiate that statement in the last verse. What is the last statement? Ananyatvam. Ananyatvam is the last statement in the last verse. And here Krishna is saying here, Ebi Anya Devada Bhaktaha Anyasu Devadasya Bhaktaha Anya Devada Bhaktaha Sando Yajande Pujayande Shraddhaya Astikya Buddhya Anyidaha Anugadaha Te Abhimam Eva Kaundaya Yajandi Avidhi Purvagam Avidhi Ajnanam Talpurvagam Ajnana Purvagam Yajande Ityartaha. Krishna says, sometimes people are worshipping other forms also, in different Shiva forms, Parvati form, Ganesh form and so many other forms. Although they are all worshipping, they are worshipping me. They are worshipping other forms. They are actually worshipping me, but in ignorance. Now, this is very important, this verse, because it causes a lot of problems and controversies and confusion also. Let us understand it properly. Yep, anya devada bhakta bhajande yajande shraddhayanvida te bhimameva kaundeya yajandi bhajandi Yajanti avidhi urvakam, Krishna says. So here, one thing you have to take note of is that you seeing any devata separated from you, separately from you, all other devatas also, reality have for those devatas has come from you. You are accepting that devata. Not the devata is not giving you, you don't know anything about the devata. Say any form of devata, Shiva's form, Vishnu's form, or Ganesh form, or whatever form, doesn't matter. Who gave the truthfulness to that form? You have given. From Andaryami inside has given that. Now, sometimes we may say, you should not worship any other form except Krishna. We say like that, isn't it? Other form. This is a very common tone everywhere. You will hear this. But it's a big mistake to say like that. This is not what Krishna is trying to tell us. We have completely misunderstood everything. Epi anya devata bhaktaha means, what Krishna is saying, epi anya devata. Anya devata means, anything that is separated from the soul is important. Everything is centered around the soul. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita, this Krishna consciousness will become a religion. That is the problem. It will be simply become a religion. Because if you see any devata separated from the Atma, separated from the Atma, Krishna will say this, Devan devayajo yandi mad bhakta yandi mam api. In another place he will say this, Devan devayajo yandi mad bhakta yandi mam api. There is a verse previously, I think Krishna has spoken there. So this mam, this word in the Bhagavad Gita, if you take it that, it is coming from that aham shabdam. Aham. Aham. If you remember, aham atma gudagesha sarva bhudashe sthita. In the 10th chapter, Krishna will say this. So that aham, aham means what? The awareness. Bodham, atma, spurti, prajna. So many words in the Bhagavatam, all referring to this awareness inside. Bodham. It is from there you are getting all the reality of this world. Your own existence is coming from there. You are not getting any reality from this world. World you are seeing through the different holes, through the eyes, through five senses you see this world, so you have one impression of the world. Suppose you had 10 senses, you will have a different impression of this world. And there are living entities which have got three senses. Their world is different than this world. World is not the reality. We are the reality. This illusion has to go from our head. We are always thinking the world is real. We are temporary. No, we are real. World is temporary. That is how you have to see it. Because you can imagine, today we have five senses, isn't it? There are living entities with three senses. Now, things like amoeba, which is the single cell living entity, its world is different than our world, is it not? The way the amoeba experiences this world is different than the way we experience the world. Similarly, the plants and the trees, they experience the world in one way, another way. Their world is different than our world. So whose world is real? That is why Vedantam is saying to us, straight away, completely reject the senses, mind, intelligence, everything. Don't give any importance to it, because they are not the truth. You are seeing the world through the senses and you are saying world is real, world is real. What is real here? Nothing is real. Everything is based on the person who is seeing the world. How many senses he has got and through the senses. What you experience through the senses, this world, is what you are calling it as real, real, real. We keep saying this. We keep saying this is real, isn't it? Where is this reality coming from? Because you are seeing through the senses something and you are giving importance to that. No. Krishna is saying here that aham alma gudakesha sarva bhudashaya sthita. That is where everything coming from. Krishna, who is inside as alma, aham, alma, gudakesha, and presence in everyone, sarva bhudashaya sthita, aham, adhyanja, madhyanja, bhudanam, andam evaja. I am the beginning, middle and end of everything. So that source from where this aham, 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 that awareness, bodham, avabhodham, spurti, prajna, is coming, that source, that is the reality, that is the reality. That is what Krishna is calling here, is that the source where it's coming from. So if you keep that in the perspective, and if you read this verse 23, then it will make sense. Otherwise it will not make any sense. So if you do not do like that, that means if you don't give importance to this Ahamalpa Gudakesha, Krishna's statement, as he is the soul of everyone. He's the soul. Throughout Bhagavatam you will see this Krishna stressing this point, I am the soul of everybody, in so many different places. Instead, if you give it a form, this reality, the truth, and then it will go and end up in a religion. It will end up in a religion. That's what happens all the time. For example, if you say to them that it is only this form is the reality, Krishna's form is the reality, other forms are not reality, then it has become a religion. Then it becomes a religion. So that's the way all religions have come like this. It has caught on to one form and said this is the truth. And that's the problem started. Every religion you can take in this world, they have forgotten that the truth for any form is coming from inside. And that's where the truth is lying. The source of the truth is inside each one of us. Awareness. He is one who is giving the reality to any form. Whether it is Shiva, Vishnu, or any other form in any other religion, doesn't matter. As soon as you leave that truth and you hold on to the form, it has become a religion then. It's become a religion. You can't do anything about it. Then they will say this form is the correct form. The other one will say this is the right form. And there will be fight. It has to fight. Because you are gone to the wrong place to fight. You have given the truth to somewhere else. The truth is coming from inside. Inside. So that is why Krishna is saying in that 10th chapter, Ahamalpa Gudakesha. Everything what Krishna is speaking in this Bhagavad Gita is based on this understanding, Aham, Aham, Aham. Aham is that source, Atma, from where everything is coming. Otherwise it will end up in a religion. It will, you call it as Vaishnavam, or you call it as Shaivam, or you will call something else, Shaktayam, Ganapatyam, Sauram, Kaumaram. Like this, so many different religions in the Vedic tradition has come. And apart from that, other religions outside also in various other names. So, as long as, if it comes like that, then it is not based on Upanishads anymore. It is not Upanishadam. That is what they say. It's not Upanishadam. Upanishadam means that the truth is what is inside me, you and everybody, every living entity who is present inside. It is from him the reality is given to some form outside. Form. We are accepting that it's Krishna, as Krishna's form is accepted. Somebody else accepts Shiva's form. But acceptance is happening here, not in the form there. Not in the form there. So, if you follow this direction only then you can reach that state of a pure devotee. What Bhagavatam says, Sarvabhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam almana. Bhudhani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavadottama. Whereas if you get stuck with one form and thinking that's the only truth, everything else is false, then how you will get to that state? What Bhagavatam is talking about, the pure devotee state. Pure devotee state is Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Alpmana Bhudhani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama means pure devotee. A first class devotee is that person Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam. He is able to experience that truthfulness in everything. And that truthfulness is given to everything from inside here. This is where it lies, not outside. We, from here, is giving the, projecting the truth onto that form. And that is how that form has become important for us. Whether it is Krishna's form, Ramchandra's form, Shiva's form, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form, anybody's form, doesn't matter. The truthfulness of that form is coming from inside here. From the source, the soul. From the source, from the soul. So, this, if you want to understand this a little bit more, it is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, many, many great devotees, they have worshipped different forms. And they had difficulties later on. They could not go beyond than that. That form they got, they stuck there with that form. And, So, gopis had the same problem, is it not? In the Bhagavatam, if you look, gopis had the same problem. They are saying to Krishna, we know that you are the soul. they are saying to him. And we also know, if you worship any form which is separate from the soul, it will create distress for us later. We know that. Gopis are saying to Krishna, if you look into the Gaudiya Gita, you will find Gopis saying to Krishna that we know you are the soul of everybody. They are saying to Krishna this, isn't it, in the Gaudiya Gita. Patisudanvayat bradrubandhava adivilangyade achyudaha gadaha. Patisudanvayat bradrubandhava adivilangyade achyudaha gadaha. Gopis are saying to Krishna, this husband, son, and friends and relations and all that is very difficult to get over that, because that's also another form in the world. Once you get stuck with a form, then you are having a problem there, how to leave it later. It becomes difficult. Doesn't matter who it is. It's in the family, within the society, even in relationship with the devadas, God also, it's the same problem will come. So Pingala sang this Pingala sang about this in Pingala's Pingala Gita. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this, that gopis are saying that we know about all these things, that you are the soul, but at the same time, this is a great crisis in everyone in spiritual life. You will worship a form and you will continue with that form for a long time, with the faith, but a stage comes that when the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita starts building up inside, you start realizing, is this the truth? Am I got the truth now? And at that time, the verse is telling you that the truth is beyond all these things, because more important than the form what you are worshipping, the reality is inside you as the soul, because it's from the only tangible thing today you have as a proof of truth is this awareness inside, isn't it? Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, in all the three states, this reality exists. That you have to study it through the Upanishad's way, Upanishad way. Then you will know that. It is the way, it is very clearly proven there. So that's why once you have accepted that as the truth, even the forms that is outside, it is difficult to give a permanent existence to that. Because one day, that form will disappear. It has happened in Narada Maharshi's case, is it not? It has happened in Dhruva Maharaj's case also. Form disappeared after a while. And then the form says to Narada Maharshi, you won't be able to see this form again in this lifetime. That's what Krishna says to Narada Maharshi. Krishna said the same thing to Dhruva Maharaj also. The 5-year-old boy, Krishna appeared in front of him and then disappeared from there. So this appearing and disappearing, coming and going is not the truth. They may appear, they may disappear. But if you put all your faith that is the truth, you will be disappointed one day. It cannot be the truth. The truth is what you have got today. That is this awareness. Awareness is the truth. So that bodham, aham bodham. That is why you will see in the Bhagavatam as well as in the all the commentaries on the Bhagavatam also, they will explain this point very, very clearly. They want to get this point across to us, that Sandranandava Bodha Almagam Anupamidam kala deshavadibhyam narmuktam nityamuktam nigama shadasahasrena nirbhasyamanam aspashtam drishtamatre punar urupurushartalmagam brahmadatvam tattavalbhadi. That is how it is defined. That sandram anandam avabhodham. That is the truth of the soul, the nature of the soul. Without understanding the soul, simply trying to see a form and thinking that that is the only truth is ignorance. It's not proper understanding. Understanding comes from knowing the source from where everything is coming. All our awareness, where it's coming from the source inside. And that is where sandram, anandam, avabhodham. Avabhodham means that awareness that's coming from there. So, it is because of this problem that Krishna had to send Uddhava to the gopis. When Krishna left Vrindavanam and went to Mathura, deliberately Krishna did that to gopis. Because up to that time, Krishna had about 7 years association with the gopis, 7 or 8 years association with the gopis, and Krishna had association. In this period of time, Krishna had, they have developed a very high degree of attachment to Krishna. Bhakti, in other words, bhakti has developed in the heart. But the knowledge hasn't come to that state yet. Krishna decided the only way they are going to understand this is I have to stay away from them. Otherwise, otherwise they will simply get stuck with my form there and won't go further from that. And you will notice there that that relationship between Krishna and the gopis, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, you can observe there that Krishna is saying to the gopis, Krishna has attracted all the gopis to him, and suddenly Krishna disappeared. Isn't it? After attracting gopis to Krishna's form, they all got attracted to Krishna's form, and after having attracted all of them, Krishna disappeared. In the Bhagavatam, how does it say? Patisutanvaya bhradra bandhava adivilange dindachuda gadaham. So, normally, what do we say? Sannyasam, sannyasam. Sannyasam means that stage has happened to them in a normal way. Normal way. How do you know? You can see when Krishna invited them for the played the flute, they all left home and came away. Isn't it? In the Rasa dance, you will, that's what you see there. They have come to see Krishna, leaving family and everything, and came to see him. Giving up the family life, relationships, everything. They gave up and husband, children, everybody, and they left. And when Krishna asked them, why did you leave them and come here? Gopis answered to Krishna that Veda says that you have to leave everything at one point. Isn't it? Veda says that you have to leave everything at some point. So they have replied that to Krishna like this. Does the Veda not say, and Vedas are your words. Addressing Krishna, gopis have said to Krishna, Vedas are your words. And you have spoken in the Vedas, and Vedas are saying to us, in order to realize the absolute truth, you have to leave everything in this world. So-called family, wife, husband, children and all that. So, so if it is like that, in the Rasa dance time, that is when Kurvandihi Toiratim Kushalasya Maltman Nitya Priye Padisukha Sudhadibi Artideikim. Gopis are asking, Kurvandihi Toiratim Kushalasya Maltman, that we have developed Rati to Altma, and that Altma is you. That is how Gopis puts it to them, Krishna. Kurvandihi Toiratim Kushalasya Maltman. Kushalasya Maltman. Altma, which is you, we have developed Rati for that, attachment for that. And because of that, and Tushalasam Altman Nitya Priye, Nitya Priye, it is you are the source of all the Priyam, all emotions, feelings, everything that's coming from you, who is inside every one of us. Nitya Priye, Pati Sudhadibi Artideikim. On the other hand, if we start thinking that priyam is coming from the husband, from the children, our experience is that they never gave us any happiness. On the other hand, they always gave us distress. Gopis are saying this. It's a very high realization. We don't see this that way. This is the problem what we have got. We are thinking the object is giving pleasure. For example, a husband and wife, the relationship between husband and wife. Husband feels happiness with the wife, or wife feels happiness with the husband. It is not coming from the wife, it's not coming from the husband, it's coming from the Antaryami inside. That is one thing what we forget all the time. When you forget that, what happens? We fall into Maya. That's when Maya begins. This is the point gopis are making there. Krishna is saying to the gopis, Krishna spoke in the normal way, like the ordinary worldly people will say. So Krishna says to them, that why have you left your husband and children and come here? So gopis are saying to Krishna that Kurvandihi Toiratim, we have got attachment towards you, and you are the soul inside all of us. Have you not said in the Vedas that you have to give up everything and get attached to the soul? They asked a question to Krishna, who has spoken this in the Veda. That is the important thing. As then Krishna couldn't answer anything after that. When gopis said that, what did Krishna say? Satyam Kurushva Nigamam. If you look into the 10th canto, you will see there that in the 23rd chapter, Then Krishna is saying there that the the gopis are saying there, Maivam viporkhati bhagavan gadidum narshamsam satyam kurushva nigamam tava padamoolam. So that is where Naivam viporkhati bhagavan gadidum narshamsam satyam kurushva nigamam tava padamoolam praptavayam tulasidama padava srishtam kesher nivodam adhilengya samastabandhuin. Kesham Kesher Nivodam Nivodam Adhilengya Samastabandhun. This is the verse that was been spoken by the after the gopis' clothes were stolen by Krishna. All that pastimes, stealing of the clothes, rasa dance and all that, there is very high philosophy behind it. It was only spoken and presented to us in this way so that we will read it. That was the idea behind it and understand the principle behind that. So here you can see that Gopi has come and they are stalking. Maivam vibhor khati bhagavan gadidam narshamsam satyam kurushva nigamam tava padamoolam praptavayam tulasidama padava srishtam kesher nivodum adilengya samasta bandhun grihandino na padaya pidarau sudova na bhradr bandh sukhradakrata eva cha anye tasmad bhavad pramadayo padida almanam no nanye bhavet gadi arindamatad vidhehi. So there you can see they are saying like this, how did we come to know that you are satyam kurushva nigamam? We know everything. What they are saying here is, how did they know? Rahasi samvidam ya hridesprasha kukhagano manan chobhayandihi. In the Bhagavadam, in the Gobiya Gidam, Krishna is saying here that Rahasi samvidam ya hridesprashaha. If you look into the 29, 30, 31 chapter, Gobiya Gidam, gopis have already understood the truth. That is why they were able to speak with full confidence to Krishna in that way. That shows that gopis' realization of Krishna was on a very, very higher level. They have come away from the level of the body. They are not looking at Krishna anymore from the bodily level. They are seeing Krishna purely as the absolute truth present in the front of them. So, here, you can see here that satyam kurushva nigamam. So, they are saying here that Rahasi samvidaya hridisprishaha kuhagano mana chobhayandihi. Those two lines, if you look, rahasi confidentially, rahasi samvidaya hridisprisha. When Krishna smiled at them, immediately that inside their heart, that samvit has woken up. Samvit has woken up. Krishna has initiated the gopis in that way, through the smile of the gopi. Krishna's smile, Krishna initiated the gopis to the transcendental knowledge. That is how they realize that position of Krishna as the soul. So they are saying here, Rahasi samvidoya hridis prisha. Hridi means the heart, where the soul's presence is there. Actually, it is in this 10th canto, in one level it is discussed. When you go into the 11th canto, everything changes again. Today, we are thinking normally in spiritual life, how do we, our understanding is? Our understanding is, I'm this body. And in this body, there is soul inside. This is how we begin spiritual life, isn't it? Every one of us, we begin like that. This is only a temporary thing. If you come to the Ekadasha Skandham, you will see there, Krishna is telling us, there is no such thing called body. But to begin, you have to begin somewhere. So today for us, the reality is the body. So they have to pinpoint a place somewhere here in the body, the heart, where Krishna is present, and make us first to come to the spiritual level, consciousness. Once it has come there, Krishna says, throw away the body. Body is not anymore important. Body is not a truth at all as far as Krishna is concerned. But if you tell that to someone now, he won't accept it. They will say, you are gone nuts. So first thing what Krishna has to do, Krishna says this in the Bhagavadam. Later on you will see in the 22nd chapter, 23rd chapter, in the 11th canto, that to begin in spiritual life, you have to begin like this. You are this body. And in this body there is a soul. First thing. And then talk about the soul, reject the body, reject the mind, reject everything, ultimately what comes back, you will come to know that only soul exists. When you know that soul only exists, you will know everything else is the soul only, nothing else exists. Even body is also soul. But it's another form, that is all it is. But none of this is important. Body is not reality, mind is not reality, intelligence is not reality, ego is not reality, because that's the jiva form. None of them is reality. Only Krishna is the reality. That will come at the end. That will come at the end. That is how in the finally Krishna talks to Uddhava in that way. But here, gopis are saying here, when Krishna smiled, that samvit potency, that awareness came inside and they had the knowledge of the self. They had the knowledge of the self. And then, could they not stay in that state then, after that? Why did they leave that then? They are saying all these things, that we know that you are the soul, but then why do you cry when Krishna goes away? This is Krishna's point. If you have accepted that Krishna is the soul of everyone, like gopis have said to Krishna, like this, isn't it? So if you have understood that, where is the separation then? Gopis complained to us, we can't bear the separation from you. So this is the crisis in a person in spiritual life. A stage comes, you have to make a decision whether to stay with the soul or to stay with the form. Form will come and go. The soul will remain. This is what is important. This is a state. In Dhruva's case, Narada Maharshi's case, they all had to go through this. Later on, after full realization, Narada Maharshi was wandering around alone. And he says, whenever I wanted to see the form, it came to me. Mentions that in the Bhagavatam. Have you seen that? In the first canto, if you look, you will see that. That whenever he says there, Narada Maharshi says, form is only that much important. If you get stuck with the form, you won't go into the spiritual path very far. You'll find that difficult. That's why he says there in the fourth or fifth chapter, he says that he appears. If you look in the sixth chapter, he says, Narada Maharshi says, after Krishna has left me, I was wandering around in the forest, drinking the water from the rivers, eating the fruits from the trees, and I spent my rest of my life. How long? I don't know, Narada Maharshi says. But one thing was there, Dhyayadas charanam bhojam bhavanarjita chetasaha aukandya ashrakulakshasya hridyasinme shaner hari. Hridyasinme shaner hari. Whenever I wanted to see him, he will appear. That is the relationship. But permanent thing is this, not the form. Form is not permanent. Form will come and go. So many forms have appeared and disappeared in so many devotees' cases. We are always thinking the form is permanent, isn't it? Form is not permanent. What is permanent is this realization inside. That is why he mentions there, Autkandya Ashrakulakshasya Hridyasinme Shaner Hari. Hridyasinme Shaner Hari. Krishna will appear in the heart when I want it. When I want it, he will appear and hence he will disappear. Every time if I wanted to see him, he says, Prema Dibhara Narbhinam Pulagangodi Narugrada Ananda Samplavoline Napasham Ubhayamune. Ananda Samplavoline Napasham Ubhayamune. When Krishna appears in the haunt, it was so much happiness inside at that time. Napasya Ubhayam Mune. The duality, Dvandvam has gone from inside. Dvandvam has gone from inside. So you can see this in so many instances. Krishna says, Narada Maharshi says there, that as and when he wanted, Krishna has appeared in front of him. In front of him. So appearance and disappearance is temporary. Avabhodam and awareness is permanent. We should stick to the avabhodam and awareness because that is the spiritual truth. The other one is appearance and disappearance. You cannot stick to that all the time. Any time, any form for that matter, any devotee if you take, they'll appear, they'll disappear. But pure consciousness, situated on the platform of the soul, that's permanent. That is self-realization. So here also what happened was Padisudanaya Brandu Bantava, he says, so gopis asked this question that this thing called husband, children and all, will they not leave us one day? Gopis are preaching to Krishna now. It's the reverse preaching going on there. The very thing Krishna has spoken, gopis are saying to him now. That patisudadivir artideikim. So, and are they, do they not give us distress? Gopis are asking this to Krishna. In other words, they knew everything. They knew everything. And nowadays what happens is that sometimes people understand the principle or the philosophical side of it from the Shastram very well. And they may have sometimes a great devotion to a particular form. Some people are very devoted to Ramchandra's form. Some people are devoted to Krishna's form. Somebody is devoted to Narasimhamurti's form. Or someone is devoted to Sri Parvati's form or Devi's form, some other form. So, so they will say, they will agree with all this, what Bhagavatam is saying. But still, they will go back to after the form. That's a weakness. That's a weakness that comes there. So, and they will stick to that. Initially, you will take a form to worship. You will come to develop that relationship with that form. But when you see this discussion between the gopis and Krishna and the philosophy Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, when you understand all that, you start realizing the truth is the soul. Krishna, who is inside as the soul, is the truth, not the body, not the form outside. Even though you may have understood all that, still you may accept it, but still, due to the past conditioning in us, we will still think, as soon as you see the old form, you will still want to keep that relationship with the form in that whatever way it was inside there. So Krishna is saying here that it's a very natural thing to be like that. It's a very natural thing. Everybody has that difficulty. So many people have said this. If you look into great jnanis and great devotees, in their spiritual path, at one point they get stuck there. Which way to turn? The knowledge side is telling them that the truth is inside, the soul. The bhakti side is telling them the form is important. It's a very difficult situation it is. We have not reached that, so we don't have the problem. It's only for those who are in that state. That knowledge side is telling them that the soul is important. Because that's what we are. And Krishna is there inside that. And the form they have worshipped, because of bhakti to that form, they're finding it difficult to give up that also. This situation happens at that time. And so, so, therefore, what happened was, when Krishna was present there, right in front of them, in that particular form, they will not listen to any philosophy. Because this is the philosophical side is correct, isn't it? Philosophical understanding is tattvam. Tattvajnanam is important. Gopis were not willing to take tattvajnanam seriously when Krishna's presence was there in the form. When Krishna left and went to Mathura, then what happened? All this what they have heard before, it started coming back. And that is the reason why they didn't go to Mathura or to Dwaraka after Krishna. Do you think it was difficult for gopis to go to Mathura from Vrindavan? It's a very surprising thing, isn't it? When you read Bhagavatam, that they are feeling separation. After all, he's only gone 10 kilometers from there. And if you have to feel that much separation, people are separated by 10,000 miles these days and they're not feeling separation. Gopis felt separation by 10 kilometers distance from there. So here you can see when the form disappeared, they started really thinking about it. What has happened now? And that is why that the knowledge what they have heard from Krishna before, whatever Krishna has spoken before, that has all come to them. And to reiterate that, to stress that again, Krishna sent Uddhava to them. That is why Uddhava was sent to the gopis. So, so they started realizing that they have not lost anything. When the form disappeared, everybody feels very disappointed, isn't it? Narada Maharshi felt very disappointed when Krishna disappeared. Also, Dhruva Maharaj felt very disappointed when Krishna disappeared from front of them. Muchukunda also felt. All devotees feel this. That when the form disappears, They feel that we have lost something. We have lost something. So, therefore, Krishna had to send Uddhava and say to the gopis, nothing has disappeared. Nothing has disappeared. So, that experience and realization gopis had to have. And that is why Uddhava was sent there. And first, Krishna has pulled them all towards him. And then suddenly he left them. Suddenly he left them. And he did not stay there. Krishna ran away from there. He did not stay with them. So, and that also Krishna says in the Brahmara Gitam. Brahmara Gitam, you will see. There, that is why you will see when Krishna left, disappeared from there, gopis are saying, don't trust this person. Krishna, don't trust him, he says. Why do they say like that? Because he will go when he likes. That is why if you look into the 10th canto, you will see the gopis' words there. That Asida sakhe tulkada. If you remember that Uddhava came to pacify gopis, that gopis were feeling the separation. Krishna sent Uddhava to the gopis. One morning, Uddhava was coming back from the river, Yamuna river, after bathing. So the gopis confronted him. And Radharani was there and pulled Uddhava to Radharani. Radharani would not speak one word to Uddhava. And Uddhava sat there. And other gopis started talking about Krishna. In appearance, Krishna and Uddhava looked very similar. So they were saying to him that we cannot trust you because you are his friend whom we don't trust. And there is a few verses. At that time, Radharani came up and started speaking at that point. And that is what is known as Brahmara Gitam. In the form of a bee, Radharani speaking to the bee, but actually addressing to Krishna. And there, this verse comes, it says that Mrigayuriva Kapindram Vivyadhe Lubdha Dharmaha Striyamagrada Virubam Strijida Kamayanam Belimabi Belimatva Veshtaya Dvangshavadyam Tadalam Asida Sakhe Dusteja Tvalkadhartha. A very philosophically very powerful words. Krishna is saying, gopis are saying, Mrigayuriva Kavindram Vivyadhe Lubdha Dharmaha. Krishna's activities are not very trustworthy. Very trustworthy. And whoever has approached him, he has sent them in distress. Striyamagrada Virubam Strijida Kamayanam. Talking about Ramachandra. That came in the form of Shurpanagha and sent her back in a ugly state. Belim abhi belimatva veshta yang dvangshavadyam. Mahabali, Sugriva's brother, no, Mahabali offered everything to him. And what did he do? He cheated him as well. Belim abhi belimatva veshta yang dvangshavadyam tadalam asida sakher dustyajas tal kathartaha. Anyone who has approached him, eventually he has got cheated and we have also got cheated. Gopis are saying this to Uddhava. This is the message from gopis to Krishna. And Uddhava is hearing all these things. And therefore, one should not hear about Krishna. If you hear about Krishna, indirectly gopis are saying, once you start hearing about the soul and get attracted to the soul, you will leave the world. You won't have any attraction here. It's an indirect message in that. Whenever gopis are speaking about Krishna, it means talking about the soul. Once you come to spiritual life, and this knowledge of the soul in the Vedam, Upanishads, if that goes in, then it is very difficult to keep some interest in this world. It's very difficult. That's the way the spiritual knowledge works. It is very difficult to get attracted to this world. In any way, in any form. So that is why they are saying here, gopis are saying, Radharani is saying, Balim abibalimatva veshtayang dongshavadyam. Mahabali handed over everything to him. Is it not? Ultimately, he lost everything. He had three planetary systems under his control and he lost it. But did he lose? He lost something. He got something higher than that, isn't it? So, anyone who has taken to spiritual life, he is never a loser. This is the principle behind that. That Belimabi Belimatva Veshtayang Dongshavadyam Tadalam Asida Sakir Dustyajatal Kathartaha. That if you hear about Krishna means hearing about the soul. Once that starts working inside, attraction for the world will go away from inside. So, here you can see that Bahava Ihavihangam, that in the next verse also, that Bahava Ihavihangam, Bichujaryam Charandi, look at our fate, gopis are saying, what has happened to us? We heard about him, then what has happened? Sagrad Adana Vidhu Udad Dvandva Dharma Vinashtaha. As soon as we came into contact with him and started hearing about Krishna, what has happened inside? Dvandva Dharmam, all duality has gone from inside. Duality means to know, think that this world is real. We started realizing it's not real. Getting into contact with Krishna means what? Realization of the truth inside, isn't it? The falsity goes away from our understanding in life. The truthfulness comes inside. Proper realization comes inside. That is why sabadi, and the result was that sabadi griha kudumbam dina mulsrajya dinaha. We gave up our family, home, children, family, everything. And the home. Sabadi griha kudumbam dinam ulsrajya dinaha. We threw away everything. And what is happening to us? Bahava iha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. Just like beggars, we are wandering around in this world. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. But when gopis are saying this to Krishna, it is spoken in a different way. In the sense that they are feeling that separation from Krishna. They don't want to go back to the world again. They want to have to stay in that realized state all the time. That is their desire inside. That once you have get to know the truth, nobody wants to hold on to the falsities in this world, isn't it? Why we are after self-realization? Because we know that the world is false. Everything here, it is a false thing. Nobody understands why we are here. Nobody knows why we are here in this world. Nobody knows why we have come here. Nobody knows where we will be going from here. Nobody knows why we are doing all these things here. Right from the United States president, right up to the ordinary person in the street, we are all in the same boat in these things, isn't it? If you ask anyone in this world, what do you know? Why are you here? He will say, oh, I have to work, I have to make money, I have to enjoy. That's all he can tell you. He can't say anything more than that. He doesn't even know what he is, and that's the one who is replying this. So practically you can see, samsare kimsaram. This material existence, what meaning has it got? This is the first question in the Upanishad. Samsare kim saram? Samsare means material existence. Saram means essence. What essence has got this material life in this world? So after asking that question, when you find that the knowledge of the Upanishads, which is spoken through Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all, when you realize that knowledge, you see, makes some sense, a sense to life, some meaning to life. And when that meaning comes to life, then you don't want to hold on to all the falsities what you were holding on to in your previous life. Isn't it? It can happen any time in anyone's life. It may take long time. It may take in a matter of second. Remember the story of Patnatar I mentioned before. Patnatar was a big businessman. He was doing business with the pearls. That was his business, in pearls. And big jewels and things like that. He used to do business in overseas, other countries. So much wealth he has accumulated, and then one fine morning he had a great renunciation happen when his own son threw it away from everything from him and went away. At that time he started thinking, what's the use of all this wealth? He threw all wealth away and went and sat there in front of a temple with a bowl in the hand. And that is that happened. Vairagyam can come any time in anybody's life. When Vairagyam comes, naturally the knowledge also comes along with that. And that is what, Gopi's case also, it's the same thing, Gopi's are saying. Pingala's case, the same thing happened. Is it not? Pingala, in one moment, she was making a lot of money through her business. And one fine morning, due to association with Dattatreya Maharshi, Pingala realized that there is no truth in all these things. What am I working for, making all this money for? Pingala has come to her senses. That is what is Krishna's grace. That is called Krishna's Kripa, mercy. That due to association with some great soul or through Krishna, somehow or the other, if that good thought develops inside, what is the purpose of all these things? The attention in the world goes away, inquiry of the self begins at that time. When that self-inquiry happened, Pingala gave up the whole thing in one lot and said that Asha hi paramam dukham, nairashyam paramam sukham, he says. Nairashyam, this state is the greatest happiness. And gopis knew about Pingala. That's why gopis are saying here also about Pingala. They are mentioning here in these verses also that Pingala has done this. And we have also realized the same thing. Quoting Pingala, they are mentioning that. So, it is at that time Uddhava has arrived here. And Uddhava is talking to the gopis. And gopis wanted this confirmation from Uddhava. Krishna has sent to confirm that gopi's realization is correct. It's important. Whenever we realize something in spiritual life, higher realization comes, somebody confirms that it is the correct realization, then you feel happy about it, isn't it? And gopis were also in the same state. Gopis wanted a confirmation about what they have realized. So, sabadigraha kudumbam dinam ulsrujya dinaha bahava iha vihanga bichu jaryam charandi. We are wandering like beggars, bichu. We are wandering like bichus in this world, says the gopis to Krishna. So what has happened here was that Uddhava delivers a message to gopis at that time from Krishna. And what was Krishna's message? If you read Bhagavatam, you will see. What does he say? Krishna says to the gopis like this. There are three states of existence. What are they? Waking state, dream state, and the deep sleep. Krishna's message to the gopis. He says here, Tatastva Krishna sandesham vyabeda viraha jvaraha uddhavam pujayam chakro nyatva alpmana madhokshajam. Shugamaharshi is saying there, Shugabrahmaharshi is saying here, Tatastva Krishna sandesham vyabeda viraha jvaraha. After receiving the message from Krishna, gopis have lost that feeling of separation from Krishna. They got themselves freed. Not that Krishna, send us a letter, therefore we are okay now. Not like that. When they got the message properly, immediately gopis felt there is no thing called separation from Krishna. Why? Uddhavam pujayam chakru. They worshipped Uddhava. Worshipped Uddhava there. How? Nyatva almanam adhokshajam. Look at the words. Nyatva, knowing very well that the soul inside is adhokshaja, Krishna. For bringing this message to them, they felt the gratitude to Uddhava. Uddhava's bringing the message confirmed to the gopis that this avabhodam, awareness inside, Krishna can never leave you. Even if you want to leave Krishna, you cannot leave him. Because he is there inside, it is his presence, from him you are getting your existence awareness. So how can you leave him? Even if you want to leave him, you cannot leave him. He is there all the time. So that is why, Uddhavam pujayam chakru nyatva almanam adhokshajam uvasakati jinmasan gopinan vinudan dhruva krishujaha krishnalila katham gayam gayan ramayamasa gokulam. So, after receiving the message, they worshipped Uddhava for bringing this message. Nyatva almanam athokshajam. Athokshaja is Krishna. Athokshaja and alma, knowing very well they are one and the same. Nyatva almanam athokshajam. Athokshaja is alma. Knowing this, they worshipped Uddhava for bringing that message. Now, what was the message? Message was Krishna's message, if you read. This is not a love story anymore. Up to this time, you can say gopis were having a great time with Krishna and all that. This is serious business. Krishna Shri Bhagavan Vaja, not even saying anything. He says, Bhavati naam viyogami nahi sarvalmana kochil. Your separation from me, it has no meaning because I am present in everyone. Where is the question of separation? He's like, Sarvatmana Kochil, Yadha Bhudhani Bhudeshu Kham Vayu Agnir Jalam Mahi. Just like if you are considering yourself to be the body, these five material elements are present there. Kham Vayu Agni Jalam Mahi Bhudam. Earth, water, air, ether and fire is present in there. Yadha Bhudhani Bhudeshu. Just like in every Bhudam. Bhudam means living entity. All five material elements are present there. Along with them, I am present there. He says, Bhavadinam Yogome Nahi Sarvalpana Kochil. Because I am present there, the five material elements also are present there. Tadaham. Similarly, aham cha mana prana bhudendriya gunashrayaha. Mind, pranan, five material elements and senses and all of them aham is dependent on this aham inside, awareness inside. We don't take this very seriously. That is the whole problem. We like some form, some good picture, some photograph, some nice deity, nicely decorated. Our spiritual life is going on in that way. We are not taking the message in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam seriously. Here, very subtle level, Krishna is explaining to gopis that Altmanyeva, Altman, Altmanam. Remember this, he said. Altmanyeva, Altman, Altmanam, Srijehin, Anubhalaye, Altmam, Ayanubhavena, Bhudendriya, Gunaltmana. Stressing the importance of the soul. Altmam, Altmanyeva, Altman, Altmanam. From Altma comes Altma. Altma means mind also. Altmanam, he is present in everyone as the soul. Andaryami, he is present inside. Srijehan Manupalaye, he does the creation. It is from him the creation comes. Creation is not what Krishna has created. That is a little much more subtle subject that is. What creation means. We have understood creation, what we see through our eyes. In the beginning of spiritual life, it's always like that. Everything you accept as the truth, what you come through the senses, isn't it? What you have seen, that's good. That's the right one. Vrindavanam is this 10 kilometer or 20 kilometer square. That's Vrindavanam for us at the moment, isn't it? All the flats and apartments and the everything that's built, that's our Vrindavanam at the moment. But Vrindavanam, when you understand from the spiritual life, spiritual point, spiritual realized state, that Vrindavanam is a different Vrindavanam. It is fully made of consciousness. It's from consciousness that Vrindavanam is created. That's why it is different. Altmanyev altman altmanam srijehan anupalaye altmam ayanubhavena bhudendriya gunaltmana. From this altma only comes the three modes of material nature also. Souls is the soul, everything. And bhuda indriya gunashraya bhudendriya gunaltmana. He says the three modes of material nature, all five material elements, everything is altma. Altma is present in that form. Then he says, Altma, Jnanamayam, that Altma is full of knowledge. It is pure knowledge, is its Swarupam, isn't it? The nature of Altma is knowledge, because it's mentioned in the beginning. Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yal jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is the nature of the soul, is the nature of the soul. Altma Jnanamayam, Shuddha, Shuddham, it's pure. You cannot contaminate that with anything. Vedirikto agunanvayaham. That vedirikto gunanvayam. That he is independent in all the states. What is that state? Krishna says, Sushupti sopnam jagratbir mayavrti bhiriyate. He on his own, he doesn't have sopnam, sushupti, jagrat. Three states doesn't exist in him. But when where does it come? It mayavrti bhiriyate. Maya creates that. See that? Maya creates these three states of existence in us. So Krishna says, Sushupti sapna jagratbir maya vritti bhiriyade. It is maya work. That is, maya does that to us. And when these three modes of nature comes, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa, we get the three states of jagrat, sapnam and sushupti, and we get trapped in that. We start acting according to the particular state we are in. If you are in the jagrat, you will act in one way. In the dream state, you will act in another way. In the deep sleep, you will act in a different way. Different way. Whenever Krishna has spoken, he has spoken based on this jagrat sapnam sushupti, whether to Uddhava or to Arjuna also. But the only thing is that you have to take those times very seriously and understand the background of that from the Upanishads. Upanishads are giving to us that deeper understanding of that state. But here it is just touch and go. While talking to gopis, it was sufficient for them. So he says to them, "Yen indriyartha andhyayadam rusha sapnavadutthida tanirudhyad indriyani vinidra pratyabhadyadaha edanasam amnayo yoga sanghyam anishinam tyagastabo damasatyam samudrantam ivapagaha yattu hambhavadinam vaik dure varte priyodrusham manasa sannigarshartham adanudhyanagamyaya yatha durajare preshtamanam avishyavartade srinam janatha chedam sannigrishte akshigojare maya vishamane krishnam vimukta asheshavrtiyat anusmarandiyomam nityam ajirandam upay यामया क्रीडदारात्रियं पनेस्मिन् मृदम् आस्थिताः अलब्धरासा कल्याणम् आपोर्मोद् वीर्यचिन्तयाः. So this is the message from Krishna to the gopis. This is the message from Krishna to the gopis. So here so here you can see here that they gopis knew everything. Gopis knew everything. So and only the confirmation of that, that what gopis were going through was through Uddhava. Krishna sent Uddhava to confirm to them. Krishna disappeared and then never went back to Vrindavanam again to see the gopis. And gopis in their heart, with this realization, they stayed the rest of their life in Vrindavanam. That separation never disturbed them anymore. The separation never disturbed them anymore. So, this is the importance of that Brahmaragidam. Brahmaragidam is the 47th chapter in the 10th canto. And that is a very important chapter because of this great message. What is that message? Message is this, that initially in spiritual life, we will get attracted to some form, worshipping a form. That form worship will go on for a long time. Finally, to the mercy of Krishna or to the spiritual master, when realization comes to us about our spiritual nature, self-realization happens, you are at crossroads. Which way to go? Whether should I continue with my attachment to the deity and the worship of that particular form, or the pull of that knowledge taking you in another direction, realization of the self. It is at that time that crisis was in the gopis' case also here, and that is when Uddhava was sent there by Krishna. And through Uddhava and through gopis, Krishna is also telling us the same thing. Shuga Brahmarshi has kept everything very open there in this 47th chapter. Of all the chapters in the 10th canto, that 47th chapter is the most important chapter because of this. Because that is where a very advanced state of a devotee like gopis, who normally attracted to the form of Krishna, attracted to the form of Krishna, and feeling that separation from Krishna, realizing that there is no such thing called separation from Krishna. Even if you want to be separated from Krishna, it's not possible. That realization has happened in that chapter, 47th chapter. So, sometimes, because, you know, people who talk katha, Bhagavatam makes it katha. These katha people, they keep saying so many things according to their own versions. And they start breaking up stories also from that. They started saying Uddhava had no bhakti. That's why Uddhava was sent there to study bhakti from the gopis. All these kind of things, you will see sometimes some people talk like that. From this, a group of people who are, you will notice this, they're talking in this way also, who are generally presenting katha to the world, the story side of it. So, here, but it is not supported by Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam doesn't support that. Because if you look into Bhagavatam, before Krishna sent Uddhava there, what does Krishna say about Uddhava? In the beginning itself, Shuka Brahmarshi wanted to make it very clear that who is Uddhava. He begins the chapter like this. Shri Shuga Vacha, Vrishninam Pravaryo Mandri. Manda Vrishni is, he is the chief minister of Krishna. Krishnasya Daida Sakha, Krishna's close associate and friend. Shishyo Brihaspade, Brihaspadi's disciple. Sakshal Uddhava. That Uddhava, Buddhisattamaha, highly intelligent person he was. Krishna always recognized Uddhava's intelligence. And he says, Tamaha Bhagavan Preshtam, Bhagavan Preshtam, Bhaktam Ekandinam Kochit. One day, Krishna called Uddhava privately, very confidentially called him. Bhaktam Ekandinam Kochit. Because he was a Ekanta Bhakti. Ekanta Bhakti means he had this relationship with Krishna in this Ananyatvam stage. Grihitva Panina Panim held Uddhava's hand like this. Grihitva Panina Panim. Then Prabhanarti Haro Hari. Prabhanarti Haro Hari. Such a surrendered soul Uddhava was. And at the same time, Krishna had a great, great appreciation of Uddhava's intelligence. And then he says to him, Gacho Uddhava, Uddhava, now you go. Vrajam, Vrajam Saumya, Pitror no Pridimavahau. Now you go to Vrindavanam and Gokulam, see my parents and console them. From these verses you can understand that Uddhava was not an ordinary person. He was a very elevated soul. It is because of that only Krishna has selected Uddhava to talk Ekadasha Skandam to him. Otherwise, an ordinary person cannot digest that Ekadasham. It is a very difficult topic in the Ekadasha Skandam. How Krishna selected Uddhava? Because Krishna knows Uddhava is the right candidate for that. And to say that Uddhava had no bhakti will be very unfair to Uddhava also. Here you can see, Bhaktam Ekandinam Kochil Preshtadamam. Preshtadamam means best of all. And and gopis have come around and stood around Uddhava there. And how come gopis got attracted to Uddhava like that? Normally it's quite unusual, isn't it? All of them were women and Uddhava was alone coming from the riverbank. And he says, what did they think at that time when they saw Uddhava? Parivamra rulsaga uttama shloka padam bhuja shrayam. This is the statement in the Bhagavatam. Uddhava, when they saw Uddhava, what did they think? They thought, Parivabra Rulsaga Uttama Shloka Padambuja Ashrayam. Uttama Shloka is Krishna. One who has taken complete shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Uttama Shloka Padambuja Ashrayam. Parivabra Rulsaga. They got so enthusiastic to meet him, knowing well that he has taken complete shelter of Krishna. So how can we say that Uddhava was not a devotee? It is impossible. So, so when you look at the message, you will see it didn't say Uddhava Uvacha. It says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. That's how the message is. That's more important. Uddhava, when he spoke to the gopis, Uddhava didn't say Uddhava Uvacha. Shuka Brahma Sri didn't say Uddhava Uvacha. What did he say? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, he says. So, so Krishna says to the gopis that my real form, like we saw in those verses, so, in order to know that, I have spoken all these things. And that is why I ran away from you. To know my real form. Otherwise, you will never understand me. You will always look at me by seeing my external form. And thinking that I am that. Thinking that I am that form. And that is why I left you. And on the other hand, I wanted you to know that I am inside every living entity. As their soul and permanent. Permanently in everyone as their soul. And this was a message sent through the Uddhava. And for the gopis, this was not a news. They already knew this. After hearing that, gopis are saying to Krishna, we know all these things. When Uddhava said this, gopis are saying, we know all these things. But still they say, when the form has gone, we are feeling the difficulty. That is why he says here that Pingala has spoken this. Ashahi paramam dukham, nairasham paramam sukham. That still our attraction is going towards the form. You see the problem they are facing. Gopis are facing this problem. Gopis are facing this problem after self-realization, after receiving the message from Krishna. Confirmation of what they have thought when Krishna left, They started experiencing Krishna is within the heart. And this is the same pastime what you have to see, know from the instance when the forest fire happened. You remember that time? Krishna told them to close their eyes when the forest fire happened. Told the gopis to close their eyes. And they told them that only open the eyes when I tell you to open. After a while, Krishna told them to open their eyes. When they opened their eyes, they knew that they were standing far away from the place where the fire was. In the 10th canto, there is a pastime mentioned there. So, Uddhava asked the gopis, when Krishna asked you to close your eyes, when the fire happened, what was happening? He said, we closed our eyes, but we could see Krishna inside. Krishna was inside at that time. And they never felt the separation from Krishna at that time. But later on, much later, when Krishna told them to open the eyes, they opened the eyes and they saw the world. And then they started seeing again, got attracted to the form. So form is like that. You will get attracted to the form, but form is not permanent. No form is permanent. It will not stay permanently with you. What will remain permanent is this awareness, bodham inside, knowing that that form, Krishna's form, is also the same form what is inside as the soul of everyone. So, uvacha kadachin masan. So, what happened? Gopis are saying, when we see the form, we feel depressed now. Now the form is going away. The same disturbances inside. So, and we are still feeling that separation, gopis have said. That is when gopis, remember, in the middle of Rasa dance, when Krishna disappeared. Remember, in the middle of Rasa dance, Krishna disappeared. What did gopis say? Ha Nadha, Ramana Preshta, Kwasi Kwasi Mahabhujam. Gopis' words. Ha Nadha, Ramana Preshta, Kwasi Kwasi Mahabhujam. He says, Kwasi Kwasi Mahabhuja. O great personality with long arms, Ha Nadha Ramana Preshta, one who is capable of giving happiness to everybody else, you have left me. This is how they cried when in the middle of Rasa dance when Krishna left them. And here also gopis are saying here that the in this chapter also that that the 57 Edaparam Tanuprado Bhuvi Gobavadho Govinda Eva Nikhilal Mani Ruta Bhavaham Vanchandiyad Bhavi Yomunayo Vayamcha Kim Brahma Janmabi Anandakatha Rasasyaham. That Veda Virahajvara. So Veda Virahajvara, that they have started thinking that Krishna has left us. Krishna has left us. And when they were Vipeda Virahajvara Uddhavam Pujayam Chakru, when they were going through this experience of separation from Krishna, they worshipped Uddhava with this understanding, Nyatvalpanam Adhokshajam, Krishna is the soul of everyone. So whenever we get this realization as Krishna is the soul of everyone, then you won't feel that separation from Krishna. When you lose that self-realization, then you feel that separation also from Krishna. Uddhavam Pujayam Chakrum. Why did they worship Uddhava? They performed puja or worship of Uddhava. Nyatvalpanam Adhokshajam. Nyatvalpanam Adhokshajam means knowing Krishna as Andaryami, as the soul of everyone. In other words, Krishna is not outside, rather Krishna is inside. This is the final realization. So, suppose, now they know where is Krishna. Where is Krishna? Suppose if they knew Krishna is in Mathura, they would have taken one chariot or bullock cart or horse carriage or something like that. And they would have gone there to Mathura. They didn't go. Because they know very well that it was their weakness. Now they have realized that tattvam, that weakness has disappeared from inside. So here you can see only at that particular stage. For example, suppose you are worshipping any form, Krishna's form, Narasimhamurti's form, Ramchandra's form, or any form for that matter. And suppose by Krishna's grace or mercy, you happen to see that form. Darshanam it is called, isn't it? This darshanam will happen in the case of very advanced devotees. But it will not stay. It will go. It will disappear after a while. And the happiness what you got in seeing that form will turn into distress when that form disappears. When that form disappears, it will turn into distress also. It is at that time that this tattvajnanam will keep you in that stable state, stable position. So, Uddhava is saying here, jnatvaatmanam adokshajam, that atmanam, Krishna is the soul and he is the antaryami, he is not outside, and they control themselves and they stayed in Vrindavanam. They didn't go anywhere. And Uddhava also felt very relieved after seeing that status of the gopis. Uddhava was just a messenger. Uddhava was just a messenger. And Krishna has not instructed Uddhava yet. You have to remember that. At this point when Uddhava came to see the gopis, Krishna has not instructed Uddhava on the knowledge side. Uddhava is still a devotee, but the knowledge, what is the message which was sent through Uddhava to gopis, it worked on the gopis, but it hasn't had the impact on Uddhava yet. That happens in the Ekadasha Skandham later. You know, when you realize the self, when Krishna makes that happen in anyone for that matter, only when Krishna decides that will happen. Not by our effort. We have to continue our effort, but finally that clearance has to come from Antaryami inside. That Antaryami inside is Krishna. That realization inside it has to happen. And that is Krishna's grace. Now here what do you find? Gopis who had such a close relationship with Krishna, after got attracted by Krishna's beauty and the form and the pastimes, everything, completely attached to Krishna, but when Krishna left, felt the separation very intensely inside. At that point, Krishna decided it is now the time they are ready to receive the message. Why? They left home, they left all their possessions, friends, family, society, husband, children, everything. And they have come completely like in a sannyasi. They have come to receive the message. Krishna decided to enlighten them and deliver the transcendental message to them. And that was done through Uddhava. Although Uddhava hasn't got it, gopis got it. That is the most important thing. Uddhava gets it much later. In the Ekadasha Skandham, he gets it. So, this deliverance or self-realization is in Krishna's hands. When Krishna wants that to happen, it will happen. But you can't say that and state, oh, when Krishna wants to do it, let him do it. I'm not going to worry about it. That is not the attitude. We have to, from our side, we have to do to become qualified so that Krishna gives it to us. That is spiritual life. That's all what he is talking about here. So in Ekadasha Skandham, till Krishna has spoken to him this message, Uddhava does not know. This side of tattvajnanam Uddhava didn't know. Uddhava was a great devotee. Up to that point, Uddhava was a great devotee of Krishna. But tattvajnanam has come to him in Ekadasha Skandham, whereas gopis had it in the 10th canto itself. So that is why when Uddhava saw this bhakti, because after tattvajnanam, that bhakti what you see in a person is what Krishna calls it as parabhakti. That is proper bhakti. It's not even sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is not even discussed in the Bhagavatam seriously. To say, what is it called? Because you can see that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, isn't it? What does he say? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhade param. So that bhakti, what gopis are experiencing now, is called parabhakti. And Uddhava is seeing that parabhakti and he is completely impressed by that bhakti in the gopis. That is why he stayed there few months before he went back to Mathura, before he went back to Madhura. So there the message is that this parabhakti, what we are talking about is ananya bhakti. That is that ananya bhakti. So everything, if you see anything separately from you, One day it will bring distress. One day it will bring distress. Just like when the gopis saw Krishna as separate from them, they felt the distress. Is it not? When Krishna went away and started thinking Krishna is separated from them, they felt the distress. That is why Ananya Bhakti comes. Ananya Bhakti means that Krishna is, and that is equally applicable to the spiritual master, whether it's the guru, whether it is Krishna, or any other form what you worship. Upasana Murti. In any form if you worship, this rule apply. This rule apply. So, one day or some day or the other, you have to come to this stage of Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti. You can't keep on thinking, I'll stay in this state where I am and continue my spiritual life in that way. No. This Ananyatvam is that final state. Only in that Ananyatvam, you'll become that first-class devotee. Pure devotee, as they mentioned, Sarvabhudeshi Aprashet Bhagavad Bhavam Altmana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. In other words, to see everything as the soul, Atma Swarupam. And it is in this state that you may ask the question, but still, if we see the form with the eye, we are feeling some happiness, a form. When you see a form, you are getting some happiness. Where is that happiness coming from? The answer is, that happiness is also coming from the soul. You have to tie everything ultimately to that place where everything is coming from the soul. It is not coming from the form. It is coming from the source where that is coming from. It is not coming from outside. It is coming from inside. It's coming from inside. But it appears as though it's coming from outside. It is coming from outside. You may ask the question, how come there are two forms? When I see one form, I feel happiness. Another form I see, I don't feel happiness. So, your argument will be, that does mean that it is coming from the form then? No, it's not. According to your vasana inside, you get attracted to the form. Not based on the form. This argument that form decides the attraction for you is wrong. It's not correct. Our mind normally thinks that based on the form I get attracted. I got attracted to this form, I say. Or I got attracted to this form. No. The attraction has come from inside you, not from the form. And which form you got attracted to is based on the vasanas inside you. That makes that decision to which form to get attracted to. So, strictly speaking, appears as though everything is coming from outside, from the form or from the object. In fact, even sense enjoyment is also like that. The sense enjoyment, the happiness is not coming from the sense object. Actually, it is coming from the soul. Actually, it is coming from the soul. It's very difficult to understand that, isn't it? That when you eat some nice feast and you are feeling some great happiness from that, or any kind of sense happiness, sensual happiness, we are thinking that it is coming from the object. Actually, not. It is coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. So, only thing is, temporarily, when the soul is in contact with the sense object, temporarily, a reflection of that is coming through that object. A reflection of that is coming through the object. And it appears as though it's coming from the object, although in reality it's not coming from the object. There is no such thing called sensual happiness. There is only happiness is in the soul. All happiness is coming from the soul. While in ignorance, in ajnanam or in avidya, we think that there is a happiness in the vishayam, in the senses, sense enjoyment, sense objects. That is a misunderstanding. There is no happiness anywhere. If ever you have to have any happiness, it has to come from the soul and nowhere else. There alone, that is why it is called that source from where everything is coming. Mind is coming, intelligence is coming, the ego is coming, senses are coming. Everything is coming from that source, and the happiness and distress, everything is coming from that same source. From the same source. You can see this like this. So it cannot come from outside. It cannot come from outside. Suppose somebody gave you a laddu to eat, a nice laddu. And you eat the laddu and you feel happy. You feel enjoy the laddu. If I give the laddu to the mic, Michael eat the laddu, would it? What did the Michael just say as it is? He doesn't have any interest in that. So only if you put the laddu in the mouth, you feel the happiness, isn't it? So how many laddu can you eat? You may take, for example, 4 or 5 laddus you may eat. After that, you will say, no, I don't want any more. Suppose if I give you 10 laddus and tell you to eat it, you may beat me up for giving all the 10 laddus. Suppose if you've gone 15, 20 like that, you'll really get upset with me. You'll get upset with me. So what has happened now? From this, you can understand, if there is happiness in the laddu, you should be able to eat it. Is it not? If the happiness was coming from the laddu, you should be able to eat it, 15, 20, 50. But after 5 or 10, you are not able to eat it. Why? Because the man who is giving the happiness stopped it from inside. He pulled the shutter there. He told you that's enough now. And then you have to say to the laddu, no, no more, you stay. Up to that time, he was okay. You were accepting the laddu. This is the proof of that. This is just an example. Similarly, all happiness, we forget the source where it's coming from. That's how all our spiritual life is centered around there, not outside. So that's why Krishna is saying here that the moment you know that there is no happiness outside the soul, only then you will have complete control of the senses. When you come to know that all happiness while enjoying the senses is coming from the soul, you will have complete control of the senses. Because you know where it's coming from. That's a full, that realization has to happen. Only then sense gratification will come to an end. But as long as you are thinking that happiness is coming from the object, laddu or movie or something else, anything for sense gratification is concerned out of the 5 senses, whatever it may be. As long as we are thinking that the happiness is coming from the sense object, you will never be able to get a complete control over it. The moment this understanding comes, happiness is not coming from the object, it's coming from the soul, then soul can restrict that. You can check your sense enjoyment and your complete control on the senses will come to you. Otherwise, it will not happen. So, if you do that, before knowing this, before realizing this, if you control it and stop it, temporarily, you may be able to stay away from the sense objects. But that taste will not go away from inside. Taste will not go inside. And that doubt will be still there. Suppose somebody gets attracted to another person in some form. That form will remain and will give disturbances inside. But suppose he has realized the truth, that happiness he received is not from the form, rather from the self. If that realization comes, then the form will not matter at all. You will be able to stay away from the form. Form cannot disturb you anymore. This is the principle behind it. So, otherwise, it will keep on creating the doubt inside the form or the object that will create inside. So, with that, permanent control on the senses will not happen. Permanent control on the senses will not happen. When we know the rasam, what it is called is rasam, isn't it? Rasa. Rasam is coming, rasam is only in the Atma. This much if we know, everything else in this world, there is no rasam in there. Rasam comes from the Atma. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, what did they say? That, muharaho rasika bhuvibhavuka. Isn't it? Nigamakalpataroorgalidambhalam Shukhamukhat amurdadravasam yudham Pibada bhagavadam rasam alayam Muhuraho rasigabhu vibhavuka. Drink this nectar, it says in the Bhagavadam beginning. Pibada bhagavadam rasam alayam Pibada bhagavadam Drink bhagavadam Alayam muhu Pibadam Bhagavadam Rasam Alayam Muhu Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. So what is that Rasam is talking about? What is that Rasam? Rasam is this Rasam. What is that Rasam? Rasam of the soul. Rasam of Atma. రసం ఆఫ్ ఆల్మా పిపద భాగవతం రసం ఆలయం ముహు అహో రసిగా భువి భావుగా కీప్ ఆన్ డ్రింకింగ్ దిస్ రసం ఆఫ్ ద సోల్ ఓన్లీ సోల్ హ్యాస్ రసం నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ హ్యాస్ ఎనీ రసం ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ రసం మీన్స్ యు నో వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ ఇస్ ఇట్ రసం మీన్స్ వాట్ మెలో or the mellow is one word but mellow doesn't convey the whole meaning of rasam rasam is we have five okay the word to translate is shandam dasyam sakhyam vatsalyam madhuryam different mellows we say isn't it but it's more than that actually rasam is that raso vai saha rasam is atma the nature of atma is rasam atma only has got that quality called rasam rasam is in the atma Rasam, that mellow is in the Atma. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Mic has no rasam. The table has no rasam. Chair has no rasam. That's why whatever you give to table, chair, it's all jadam. Jadam has no rasam. Only Chaitanyam has rasam. Only Atma has rasam. Jadam has no rasam. That is the important message. That's why in Bhagavatam what is discussed is Atma, Chaitanyam. నిగమకల్పదరోర్ గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాద్ అమృత ద్రవ సంయుధం లైక్ ద నెక్టర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లిప్స్ ఆఫ్ శుకబ్రహ్మర్షి సుదేవ గోస్వామి పిబద నిగమకల్పదరోర్ గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాద్ అమృత ద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద కీప్ డ్రింకింగ్ దాట్ దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ వీఆర్ సపోజ్ టు డ్రింక్ ఫ్రమ్ భాగవతం ద నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్ ద నెక్టర్ దాట్ ఈస్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది సోల్ పిబద భాగవతం రసం ఆలయం ఇట్స్ ఆలయం మీన్స్ అ హౌస్ ఆఫ్ రసం ఇట్ ఈస్ ముహుర్ అహో రసిగా భూవి భావుగాహ దట్ అండ్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ ఎంజాయింగ్ దట్ రసం దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ రసిగా దోస్ హు ఆర్ ఎంజాయింగ్ ద రసం దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ రసిగాస్ సో వెన్ యూ స్టడీ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఎవ్రీ డే వీ మస్ట్ రీడ్ భాగవతం టు గెట్ దిస్ రసం దట్ ఈస్ ద మెసేజ్ దట్స్ వై ప్రొఫెసర్ సార్ యూ షుడ్ రీడ్ భాగవతం ఎవ్రీ డే కీప్ ఆన్ డ్రింకింగ్ భాగవతం యూ విల్ బికమ్ స్పిరిచువలైజ్డ్ న్యాచురలీ యూ విల్ బికమ్ స్పిరిచువలైజ్డ్ బికాస్ దట్ రసం ఈస్ ఇన్ ద భాగవతం రసం ఈస్ ఇన్ ది భాగవతం So as much as in the so gopis also you can see that as soon as that rasam has come, control of the senses will naturally come to that person. He doesn't have to, because he knows where the rasam is coming from. Same thing Krishna has spoken in little different way in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Param drushtva nivartade. What is that param drushtva? This rasam. That is at Paramdrushtva Nivartade. And then you are freed from the control of the senses. Control of the senses. In the natural way, that attraction for the self has happened. Self-realization has happened. And Yast Atmaradirevasya. Krishna is saying there one verse. You know that in the Bhagavad Gita? Yast Atmaradirevasya Atmatushtascha Manava. Look at that verse. Yast Atmaradirevasya. ఆత్మతృప్తశ్చమాన్ ఆత్మన్యేవ ఆత్మన తుష్ట తస్య కార్యం న విద్యతే కృష్ణ సేస్ ఎస్ ఆత్మరేతిరేవ తస్య ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ది ఎస్ ఆత్మరేతిరేవస్య యా 317 థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ 17 17 ఎస్ ఆత్మరేతిరేవస్య ఆత్మతృప్తశ్చమానవ ఆత్మన్యో ఆత్మన తుష్టో తస్య కార్యం న విద్యతే వన్ హూ నోస్ టేకింగ్ ప్లెషర్ ఇన్ ద సెల్ఫ్ హూ ఈస్ ఇల్యూమిన్ ఇన్ ద సెల్ఫ్ హూ రిజాయిసెస్ ఇన్ ద సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ ఈస్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ విత్ ద సెల్ఫ్ ఓన్లీ ఫుల్లీ సాటియేటెడ్ ఫార్ హిమ్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో డ్యూటీ ఫినిష్డ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ హెస్ కమ్ టు ఎన్ ఎండ్ దేర్ దట్స్ ఇట్ దట్ వాట్ మోర్ ప్రూఫ్ డు యు వాంట్ What more proof you want? This is what is the goal. Krishna is saying, one who, however, taking pleasure in the self, who is illumined in the self, who rejoices in the self, and is satisfied with the self, only fully satiated, for him there is no duty. It finishes there. Everything is over at that time. So that is the same thing here. What Krishna is saying here, it's the same thing. Yas tu atmaradirevasya, atmatruptascha manava, atmanyev atmanatushta, తస్య కార్యం న విద్యతే దెర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ మోర్ టు బి డన్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ సో హియర్ సో వన్ హూ హాస్ కమ్ టు దాట్ స్టేజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫార్ హిమ్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ మెన్షనింగ్ హియర్ క్షేమం యోగం క్షేమం బోత్ యా యోగం క్షేమం సో అన్య దేవదాహ భక్తాహ యజంది అవిధి పూర్వహం ఆస్తిక్య బుద్ధ్యా అన్యదాహ Ananyadaha avidhi ajnanam. In other words, not knowing that form is the soul. Is the soul. Not knowing that, if you worship, Krishna is saying, it is ajnanam. It is ajnanam. That is that verse is saying. So, from the 22nd verse, we have understood about ananyatvam. Isn't it? Ananyatvam we have understood there. And in the 23rd verse, Krishna is saying, AP, anya devada bhaktaha yajande shraddhayanyudaha tebhimam ema kaundeya yajandi avidhipurvagam. Have you understood that verse now? What it means? Yajandi avidhipurvagam. Krishna is saying there, without knowing that form you are worshipping is not the same as the soul inside. If you worship that is avidhipurvagam. It is not vidhi. Vidhi worship is ananyaschindayandomam yajanam pariupasade. That is the proper way. Not otherwise, if you get stuck in a form, thinking that form is separate from me. If you separate from me, from the soul, separately and worship him separately, tepiva meva kaundeya yajandi avidhipurvagam. Although they are worshipping me, because that form is also Krishna's form, but it is avidhipurvagam. That is that verse is saying. It's a very subtle principle in the spiritual life, but it has to be taken on board. This is proper way of understanding in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you may have moral questions and doubts will come to you and you will get confused about everything. Yepi anya devada bhakta bhajan yajande shraddhayanvidaha tebhimam eva kaundeya. That form you are worshipping is also me, aham, referring inside to that atma. Inside. That is that form. You are worshipping in a particular form, but that form is also coming from the same source. Source is the one. They are not different. Yajandi avidhipurvagam. Epi anya devada bhaktaha anyasu devadasu bhaktaha anya devada bhaktaha sando yajande pujayande shraddhaya astikya buddhya anvidam anugadaha te apimam eva kaundeya yajandi avidhipurvagam. Avidihi ajnanam tatpurvagam ajnanapurvagam yajande ityartha. In other words, you are worshipping avidhipurvagam. It is not based on the proper shastram, but avidihi ajnanam. There is ignorance in you, therefore you are worshipping. You are worshipping right, but your understanding is not correct. Tatpurvagam ajnanapurvagam. With ajnanam you are worshipping yajande ityartha. Your sacrifice or your worship is in ajnanam. In avidya you are worshipping that form. Anugadaham apimam eva kaundeya. So, that means that although you are worshipping that form with bhakti, with devotion and shraddha, still, although you are worshipping me, still it is not based on the shastric injunctions. It's not agree with the previous verse. Ananyas chindayandoma. So, and after saying that, Krishna is saying the reason why it happens like that in the next verse. And here also you will see here. So, therefore, Upasana Murti, that means Krishna mentions here. So, they are worshipping that form, but actually they are worshipping me, Krishna says. Ejandi avidhi purvagam. So, Andaryami inside gives you a darshanam. He appears in front of you as a particular form, whatever form you have been worshipping. Now, you can see in the Bhagavadam, different devotees have worshipped different forms of Krishna, isn't it? For Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna appeared in one form. Gajendra, Krishna appeared in another form. And for other devotees, Gopis appeared Krishna in one form. Prithrasura, Krishna appeared in a different form. So, in different instances, many kings who worship Krishna in their life, Krishna has appeared in different forms to all of them. Some places Krishna has appeared in the Vaikuntha form, 400 form. Some places Krishna has appeared in the 800 form. Some places Krishna has appeared in the 200 form. So, forms have been different at different places, isn't it? So, here, any form if you worship, it doesn't matter, but you have to be open-minded about this, that you don't insist that it has to be this form or that form. Then And instead, if you realize that all that forms has come from the same source from inside, from saints on side, that according to that form, what you have got attracted to, in that particular form, Antaryami will give you darshanam, will reveal his form to you. Antaryami inside will reveal that particular form to you according to your liking, whichever you have been worshipping in that form. So, and when that worship has come to a mature state, at that particular time, Krishna will reveal the transcendental knowledge to that person. And at that time, what will happen is that he will know that the world, what he knows as world today, he will know that is soul. And similarly, and that form what he was worshipping is also the soul. He will come to know everything is nothing but the soul. The murti or the form that he was worshipping, he will know that is also the soul. The world what he is seeing today, he will know that is also the soul. That is what will happen. Look at the next verse, what Krishna says.
Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta ja prabhure vacham tadu mam abhijanandi tatvena dascha vandite aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta ja prabhure vacham nadu mam abhijanandi tatvena dascha vandite
aham hi sarva yajnanam. You will see these words aham 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 coming up. And we start thinking Krishna is saying to us from the bodily level. Krishna is talking to us as Antaryami in everyone. Otherwise, it will cause problems. We will have to, then it will become a religion, as I mentioned before. It will simply become a religion. And Bhagavad Gita is not a religion. Bhagavad Gita is a science of spiritual life. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhoktaja prabhurevacha nadumam abhijanandi tatve nadaschavantide. Krishna says, it says here, that the aham hi sarva yajnanam I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize me, my true transcendental nature, fall down. So, devotees, when we read literally these things and we start thinking, what do we do now? We are going to fall down anyway because we don't get this, what Krishna is saying here. He says, I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize me, my true transcendental nature, fall down, he says. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhoktaja prabhurevacha nadumam abhijanandi tattve venaschayantite. When you do not understand the tattvam, that is what it means. Krishna is saying, if you do not understand the tattvam behind it, that you will not understand it properly. Because aham hi sarva yajnanam, what does it mean? Aham hi sarva yajnanam, it means shraudhanam smartinam cha sarvesham yajnanam devadatma tvena bhoktaja prabhu evacha mat swami gohi yajnaha adi yajnyoha aham evatra idihi uktam atatha natumam abhijanandi tatvena yathavad athacha avidhi purvakam ishtva yagamarat chavandi prachyavantete. Krishna is saying, aham hi sarva yajnanam. Sarva yajnanam means shraudam smartam. Shraudam means coming from the shruti. Smartam means coming from the smriti. So whether it is through shruti or through the smriti, sarvesham yajnanam, all yajnam, I am the enjoyer and I am the yajamanan. In other words, when you have a sacrifice performed, there is someone who is conducting the sacrifice, who is paying for all the expenses, who is organizing it. He is called yajamanan. Who is called yajamanan? Whatever you have offered in the sacrifice, who receives that, he is the bhokta. He is the enjoyer of the yajnam. You will see in all the Vedic sacrifices, there is a person who is performing the sacrifice and there is a person who is receiving the benefit of the sacrifice, results of the sacrifice. So Krishna is saying, I am the one who is actually the performer of all the sacrifices. Because sitting inside everyone who is doing the sacrifices, it's me who is prompting them to do the sacrifice. And when they do the sacrifice, when the benefactor of that sacrifice, who receives that, sitting in the form of Indra, Chandra, Varuna and all other devatas, Shiva and any others, sitting in their heart as Antaryami, I am the one who is receiving it. That is what that means. Otherwise, it cannot mean anything else. Aham hi sarvayajnanam bhoktaja prabhurevaja. I am the bhokta, I am the prabhu. In other words, Krishna is again stressing that position of Antaryami as in everyone's heart, as the Krishna is the complete. Krishna is the aham hi bhoktaja prabhurevaja. In everyone who is present as Antaryami, who conducts everything, it is him. It is him. So not to forget that Antaryami position. That is what Krishna is reminding again. Nadumam abhijanandi tatve nadas chavandi de. That those who do not understand that properly, then they will not finally reach the goal. They will not finally reach the goal. That's what Krishna is saying there. So even while sacrifices are performed, we have to understand this. That as Antaryami sitting in everyone's heart, who is prompting the sacrifice to be performed, and sitting in the heart of all the devadas for whom you are performing the sacrifice, who is receiving the benefits of the sacrifice, is Krishna as the Antaryami within them. Whether it is Indra, Chandra, Varuna, or Agni, or Krishna, or Vishnu, whichever form, inside that, Atma who is present there is the benefactor or recipient of the sacrifices. So Krishna is mentions here that because people do not understand this special position as Antaryami of everyone, even though people worship other forms, different devadas, their worship is not totally proper. Totally proper. That is why Krishna mentioned their yajanti avidipurvakam in the last. They are worshipping, okay, that's correct. Or they are worshipping my different forms, but their understanding is not correct. And therefore, they do not get the results, Krishna says. Only with this understanding, if the sacrifices are performed, the results will come. Krishna is mentioning there. That is the importance of these words. So, Krishna is the bhokta, Krishna is the prabhu of all the sacrifices. If you look into the thousand names of Vishnu, how Krishna is addressed there, he addresses everything is him. Yajnam is him. One who runs a yajnam is him. One who receives a yajnam, benefit from him. All that is is Krishna. That is why. So this Antaryami principle, this whole ninth chapter, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Yogam, is only to get this point across. What is Krishna? What is Krishna? And because most of the people do not understand this, therefore it is kept as very confidential. Rajaguhyam. Highly confidential. Krishna mentions that. What is the confidentiality? This is the confidentiality. Not knowing that Krishna is the presence in everyone. That realization, that's what you get from this chapter. From the ninth chapter. So we'll have a short break and we'll continue after that. So, 24th verse. Aham hi sarvayajnanam bhokta ja prabhurevaja madhumam abhijanandi tatve venaschayantite. Aham hi sarvayajnanam. Krishna is saying, I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down, says Krishna. So, the same thing in the Sahasranam, thousand names of Vishnu also. Yajnabadi, yajnyo, yajnabadir yajnyamgo, yajnyavahana, yajnyabhuk. So many things, all in relationship with the sacrifice is spoken there. Krishna is the sacrifice. Krishna is the performer of the sacrifice. Krishna is the benefactor of the sacrifice. And so yajnyakrit, everything is Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see karanam, karanam, karta. There is a word somewhere in the Karanam, Karanam, Karta, or it is in the Sahasranamam, I am not sure. Somewhere you will see that word. Karanam, Karanam, Karta, Vigartha. So, everything you can see once you have known the Satyam inside. What is that Satyam? Antaryami. Krishna inside us, Antaryami. Once he has woken up as Antaryami inside anyone, all these verses, what we are reading, it will be crystal clear to us. Till Antaryami realization has not happened, it will remain in the mind and the brain. But once Antaryami wakes up inside, all this what we are reading now will become our realization stage. So that is why Antaryami Upasana is important. That knowing Krishna is present inside as Antaryami. And once that Antaryami wakes up inside due to bhakti or jnanam, if it happens, and when it happens, then all what we are reading in these verses, it will not require any more explanation after that. You will know it, that that's what it is. It doesn't require an explanation after that. Now we need to explain all these things because we have no realization inside. That's why all this explanation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, so without knowing this, those who are performing sacrifices, Srinarada Maharshi says in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, what does he say? He says, Swam lokam na vidu, Swam lokam na vidustevai, yatra devo janardhanaham, ahu dumradhiyo vedam sakarma madadyudaham. Swam lokam na vidustevai, yatra devo janardhanaham, ahu dumradhiyo vedam sakarma madadyudaham. This is a verse spoken in the Prajina Barhis and Srinarada Maharshi discussion in the Puranjana Vakhyanam, Puranjana story. You remember? In the Bhagavatam, there is 5 chapters referring to Puranjana's story. In there, Puranjana discusses, Prajina Barhis discusses with Narada Maharshi. And Narada Maharshi, because Prajina Barhis was a Karmakandi, was into this sacrifices a lot. So while talking to Prajina Barhis, Narada Maharshi is saying to him, without understanding all these things, one who is performing sacrifices, Ahu dumradiyo vedam sakarma karmaga madadvidaham. So he says here that Narada Maharshi says to Prajina Barhis about this, that my dear Prajina Barhis, that when you sit in the sacrifice and the smoke is coming from the sacrifice. Sacrifice means a lot of smoke, isn't it? Nowadays, there in the, all places, you have noticed when they perform sacrifices, they have put a chimney also from there so that the smoke can go. And they put smoke alarms everywhere. Actually, the smoke that is offered when the sacrifice is happening, that it is the offering actually, and you want the offering to go out through the smoke. Because it is against the law, isn't it? The county council will come, otherwise saying that you are making the place. So anyway, so Krishna, he says here, so because once that realization comes properly, in everything, in yajnam, yagam, sacrifices, everything, if you do not know that who is doing it and who is the benefactor, Narada Maharshi says to Prajina Barhis that he will not be able to give up his attachment to the world. He will continue doing sacrifices in this understanding. So, sakarma madadvidaham. Sakarma madadvidaham. So, one with whom Krishna is pleased, what he does, he mentions that before that. Yada yamanugrahnadi bhagavan alma bhavidaha sa jahadi madhim loge vedeja parinishtidam. That Prajina Barhis and Narada Maharshi, that conversation, you have to understand from the spiritual side. Normally, what we do with this Purajana Vakhyanam is, we read the story. And the story is an amazing story, isn't it? When you read that story, people start, can this happen, a story like this? It says, a man came, he crossed over the Himalayas, and he came to the other side, and he saw a beautiful woman wandering around inside the forest. He asked her, who are you? And she asked him, who are you? And both of them started loving each other. They got married and lived very happily thereafter. Prajina Barhis heard all this story and asked the question, this story looks very weird. doesn't make any sense to me, he said. Prajina Maharshi said this to Narada Maharshi. So you will see in the Puranjana Vakyanam, after saying the whole story, Prajina Maharshi says to Narada Maharshi, I did not understand what you were saying, he said. That was the whole story. Anybody will read that story and feel the same thing. And then the whole spiritual import of that story, Narada Maharshi had to explain again to him later on. And that is the most important part of this Puranjana Vakyanam. Puranjana's story is only a story. It is not meaning anything much. If you read the story, it will look very strange also, that story. But through that story, Narada Maharshi had a lot of things to say to Prajina Barhis. Prajina Barhis was very attached to Karma Mimamsa, Jaimini's Karma Mimamsa aspect of Vedam. It's also in the Vedic tradition, Mimamsagas. They are very strong in the Karmakandam. Karmakandam is like this, that if you do your karma properly, according to the Vedic injunction, you don't have to worship any god. This is their principle. No personal worship of any form, no cultivation of knowledge necessary. Do the sacrifices as spoken in the Vedas. If you live according to that, you are complete in your life. You will get a higher destination. So, Narada Maharshi, but in truth, it has some sense also. That is why 70-80% of the Vedam is Karmakandam. But like everything else, things get deteriorated, degraded. Karmakandam also got degraded in its own way. And that ended up in killing animals in a very mercilessly, and it became completely a different cult developed out of Karmakandam. And Jaimini, who was very strong advocate of Karmakandam, Mimamsa philosophy, he is a number one disciple of Vedavyas. Vedavyas disciple he is. Out of the four major disciples of Vedavyas, one of them is Jaimini. And Jaimini has taken this Karmakandam. That is why when it comes to find the sixth darshanam of philosophical systems, Vedavyasa Maharshi says Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa is Jaimini, Uttara Mimamsa is Vedavyas. They are the authorities on that. Uttara Mimamsa is Vedavyas, which is Vedantam, and Purva Mimamsa is Jaimini, which is Karmakandam. So, on that Karmakandam, things have gone wrong. And that mistakes what has happened, that is what Narada Maharshi is talking to Prajina Barhis here. That's what Prajina Barhis' mistake was. He did the Karmakandam in the wrong way, not fully understanding it properly. And he had to correct that and bring him back into the right track. And that's what Narada Maharshi did there. Eventually, you will see Prajina Barhis came to the right track. He went to the forest, performed his penances, and realized the self and went back to the spiritual world. He got himself liberated. Because he was a great personality. Prajina Barhis was a great personality. But in that story, when you read Puranjana's story, you will see the story looking very weird and very funny story. Can't make any head and tail of it. And if you start thinking everything as it is, if you take from the Bhagavadam, sometimes you will get to a stop like this. You won't know what to say about it. But that is where, in that story itself, nowhere else in the beginning, Bhagavadam, you will see this statement that, that he says here that everything is spoken paroksham, indirectly. Krishna says, I like everything spoken, not directly, indirectly. All the devadas also like it indirectly. And that is what is mentioned there. That is why this particular story, here he says here, Edad, this story is saying at the end, Edad Adhyalpam, it is a very spiritual topic it is. Parokshyam, Parokshyam means indirectly spoken, not directly. Indirectly means through the story of Prajina, Puranjana story. Gidam devarshina anakha yashravayedya shrunuyat salingena vimuchyade. That means while talking about this Puranjana story, five chapters, 29 to 33, I think it is, or 30, I think. Yes, these two, end of the fourth canto, Puranjana story is spoken. And at the end, Maitreya Maharshi is saying, if you study and reflect on this Puranjana Upakhyanam, Puranjana story, what will happen? What will happen is, Edad Adhyalpam, this spiritual topic, Parokshyam, it is very spoken indirectly. Not directly. It is spoken indirectly. Gidam, Devarshina Anakha, Yashravayed Eshrunuyat Sa Lingena Vimuchyade. If you hear this, and if you reflect on that, you can get liberated. is a benediction from Maitreya Maharshi to this Puranjana Upakhyanam in there. And then what he says after that, Adhyalma Parokshamidam Mayadhigadam Albhudam Evam Sri Ashrama Pumsa Chinno Amutraja Samshayaha. He says Adhyalpam Parokshamidam. It is Adhyalpam, it is very spiritual. This story is very spiritual, but it is very indirect. Paroksham it is. Very indirect. Paroksham. So what we have to remember here, it is in this one that Narada Maharshi is saying this to him, that Svalokam na viduste vai yatra devo janardanaha ahur dhumradiyo vedam sakarmagamada dvidaha. That a person without understanding karmadandam properly, who engages in karmakanda, because normally what happens is, you can see this in bhakti margam also, in jnana margam also, the same thing happens. Say someone comes and gives us a proper understanding of bhakti. After he leaves, everything changes and something else becomes bhakti then. What he has taught and what he told is not anymore valid. It's gone with him. And things get changed over a period of time. It happens in bhakti margam very much. And it happens in jnana margam also. In jnana margam what happened? In the original jnana margam which has come through Gaudapada Acharya, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Shuka Brahmarshi and all that, that jnana margam is not there anymore. What we have now today is a jnana margam, a lot of Vedanti studying Vedantam and talking Vedantam, but nothing in realization. So that is not the same jnana margam which Gaudapada and Govinda Bhagavadpada, Shankaracharya and others have spoken. They have changed it. Everything got deteriorated in the course of time, gets degraded. And same thing happens in bhakti, same thing happens in jnanam, same things happens in karmam also, karmagandam also. And that's what he's saying. That he says here, that yada yada yamanugrihnadi bhagavan alma bhavidaha sa jahadi madhim loge vedeja parinishtinam. But sa jahadi madhim loge vedeja parinishtinam. One who is situated on the platform of the Vedam, he cannot come to that misunderstanding, says Narada Maharshi to who? To Prajina Bharhis. He mentions like that. Vedeja Parinishtidam. First thing, when he has understood karma margam properly, what is this then? Well, he gives up his attachment to the world and to the sense enjoyment. Normally, karma kandam is for enjoying the higher planets, which is only given as a benefit to the person who is engaged in karmagandam. Karmagandam is like this, that you perform those sacrifices which are mentioned in the Vedam. There is a number of them, many, many sacrifices mentioned. Now, why karmagandam? That is the first question, isn't it? First question, karmagandam, see, the purpose of Vedam is to keep us in a disciplined level, disciplined life, that so that we don't go and do some ugra karma or Nishiddha Karma. Remember, we talked about this before. Nishiddha Karma means forbidden things. That we don't go and exploit others. We don't give pain to other living entities. We don't exploit the material nature. These are the goal. Because only if you live within a framework, you can cultivate spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not possible. And that framework, but we have got karma vasana inside. When we come to this world, we bring a lot of vasanas with us, isn't it? We are ready to act straight away. Nobody need to tell me or to anybody that you should work. We will work because work is there in us. That propensity is very strong in us. As soon as you grow up, what happens? Nobody telling me, you know you have to make money. You know you have to enjoy. Nobody has to preach to you all these things. Whereas, but you should not work. You should not make money like this, that somebody has to tell you. Otherwise, you won't understand. Is it not? That is a normal thing in this world. Any young man, even he goes to university or gets all the degrees from there, when he comes out, you ask him, what do you want in life? Like, make loads of money, he says. That will be the first answer. I want to make a lot of money and I want to enjoy my life, he will say like this, isn't he? Has anybody taught him to do that? No. It doesn't need any teaching. Why? Because the vasanas inside will dictate from inside. This is what you need. Without anybody telling him, he will go out to make money and to enjoy life. But in that process, you will go and create a hell in this world by engaging all kinds of sinful activities and forbidden things you will do. Nishiddha karmam and akarmam, vigarmam, we will perform so many things like that. Vigarmam. So therefore, Vedam says that because everybody has this karma vasana inside, we have to put people in certain discipline. Let channelize that karma through this karmagandam. That is how karmagandam has come. So karmagandam, what it does is, it brings a discipline in you. That if you perform karmagandam, at least you will not exploit others. And you won't go after sense gratification. And what they say is, if you stick to karmagandam properly and engage in such activities, prescribed duty, as it is called. It is called prescribed duty. If you perform that properly, what will happen is, you will get a higher life after leaving this body. Higher life means higher planets you will go. But that is not the goal. Goal, even while performing karmakandam, it has to finally create this, take away the kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham from inside. These four things has to go. So while executing karmakandam, if these four things happens, then your karmakandam is a success. But because the desire is there to enjoy inside, Veda says to us, look, if you do karmakandam, there is a possibility that you will go to higher planets and enjoy there on a much higher level. That is just like if you have a child who is resisting to take the medicine. Medicine is very bitter. He says, I don't want to take this medicine. Mother says to him, look, if you take that medicine, I'll give you chocolate. Same thing. It's the same principle. That karmakandam, everybody doesn't want to perform. But Veda says, doing karmakandam, do your karmic propensity through karmakandam. If you do like that, as a chocolate, it will give you some happiness in the heavenly planets. That's all. That's all this karmakandam is all about. Nothing more than that. But people, what happened was, in course of time, like Bhakti Yogam get degraded, Jnana Yogam get degraded, karmakandam also got degraded. How? They started thinking, performing sacrifices is to go to enjoy in the heavenly planets. But that's not the goal. Rajanartha, Balashuri. In the Bhagavatam, it's spoken all these things. So, this misunderstanding of karmakandam, that is what Narada Maharshi is correcting in Prajina Brahis. Prajina Brahis was thinking, after I have performed so many sacrifices, and karmakandam is not easy. To perform karmakandam, you need qualified people who knows how to do it properly. Perform these sacrifices. Then you need also a lot of wealth. Each of those sacrifices requires loads of people, lot of wealth, qualified people, and pure materials, ingredients for the sacrifices. That's not even available. And all places are not suitable for performing sacrifices. Bhagavatam, it says that wherever Krishna Mrigam is going around, those places are suitable for sacrifices. Krishna says that later. So, what is important here is that the Vedeja Parinishtidam, it says, Krishna says here that first thing, if he has understood Karma Margam properly, he will lose his interest in the world and as well as in the sense enjoyment. That is the proper understanding of the Karma Yogam, says Vedeja Parinishtidam. And also his understanding attachment to the Vedam. Attachment to the Vedam is through karmakandam. Many, if you look back into, you see, today what we are discussing based on Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita is only a very recent thing. But Vedic history goes back into millions of years. And in this long period of tradition, what we are now talking about is Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken 5,000 years ago, or Bhagavad Gita, which was spoken 5,000 years ago. Upanishads and Vedam, other things, dates back to millions of years before that. In that tradition, Bhagavad Gita came, Bhagavatam came in course of time. Although we may say Bhagavad Gita is 40 million years old, Krishna spoke to Vivaswan, that we don't have a recorded history of that. What Krishna is saying to Vivaswan, what he's saying is the same knowledge I have given to Vivaswan before. That's all what it means. Only the same knowledge I have spoken to Vivaswan before. But if you go into the studying the Vedam and Vedic tradition as such, there you will find this, that tradition dates back to many millions of years before. And there also, if you go back into the Upanishads and the sages through whom it has come through, what they are saying to us is, finally, your attachment to the Vedam also has to go. When self-realization happens, even Vedam is not important anymore. Why? Because at that time, you are come to the goal. Realize the self, in other words. So So unfortunately, this is the traditional process, the rigid process how it was followed. But what has happened now is we left the Vedam, but the world we don't want to leave. This is our present state. The purpose of Vedam was to leave the world, not to get stuck in the world. But we left the Vedam, but we got attached to the world. So it is not like this. So Vedam, attachment to Vedam means attachment to this Karmakanda. That is attachment to Vedam means. So in the traditionally, I mean in the originally Vedic system was that they got Karmanushtanam. All the karmam that was mentioned in the Vedam they have performed. And because they have given up, it has become completely a materialistic life now. Even the Brahmana's case, it doesn't exist anymore. So, so normally in the Vedam, Brahmanas have some prescribed duty, Kshatriyas have some prescribed duty, Vaishyas have prescribed duty, and Shudras have their own prescribed duties. Now, Brahmana's prescribed duty, he has the maximum instructions in the Vedam compared to the Shudras and the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas. More spiritual input is from his side. In other words, if he gets up in the morning, say about 3 o'clock in the morning, the first time he can have his food is afternoon 3 o'clock, every single day, 24/7, 365 days a year. First time he will have a glass of water is after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Up to that time he has engagement. In the traditional system, if you go back and look into the karma anushtanam, anushtanam they call it, there were Brahmanas who lived like that, even till recent times. They will not take even a glass of water till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? They were busy. They are busy with what? Busy with various karmam in the Vedam. Agnihotram, Avupasanam, Agnishtomam. There are so many things mentioned. Do this every single time. There is so many instructions in the Vedam. That is the idea behind it. You should not think that by doing that you will get something. That's not the idea. Idea is, by engaging, keeping a person occupied in a particular way, his attention will not go into the world and get into demoniac activities. You can see a society which is not driven by the Vedic injunctions, it becomes completely demoniac very easily. Very, very easily they become demoniac, isn't it? They will think everything is okay. After all, we have to make money in this world and enjoy life. If this becomes a principle in life, what will happen in that society? You can imagine that. If simply money making and sense enjoyment is the goal of life, there cannot be any peace in that society, is there? So from this you can understand the rishis, they have thought through all these things and they have formulated a way of life in such a way that so that you don't go out of the step. You don't go outside the discipline. That discipline for Brahmanas it is the highest. Kshatriyas less. Less for the Vaishyas and less for the Shudras. Shudras, very simple things. Vaishyas, a little bit more. But it is mostly rigid with the Brahmanas. Therefore, what happened? Brahmanas have become the most poor people in the world. Because they have no time to earn money. Earning money is not an issue for them. Not only that, what more? If you look at their life, I'm talking about the strict system, how it survived. Not only that, they are not allowed to earn anything. They are not allowed to earn anything. Whatever they get in charity, they have to give it in charity to others. They are not allowed to keep anything with them. If they get money, it should be spent straight away. This was the principle in which they had to live. That means they are always poor. Always very, very poor. That's their life in this world. But Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, because Brahmanasyahi Dehoyam Shudra Kamaya Neshade, his body is not meant for enjoying this little sense enjoyment in this world. Why? After death, I give him much higher position in his next life after leaving this body. It's in the Agastya Skandam. Krishna says to Uddhava this. That is that because, so when Brahmana is working in this world, strictly according to the Shastram, what's actually happening to him is, he is always fixed in the truth and he knows that after departure from this world, he will go to a higher destination. There is no karmam in them because most of the time what the karmam is done selflessly. They are studying the Vedam. They are reciting the Vedam. All these sacrifices, it's all for the benefit of the rest of the world, not for themselves. So keeping them occupied like this throughout the whole life is a very difficult thing, isn't it? That is that we have lost it. That is what Krishna is saying here. That that if you live like this, you won't even know what material life means. You won't even know what material life means if you live in that way. If you remember, I was telling you about this, that that article, what Bhaktivinoda Swami has written in the Dandavats. If you read through that, you will see. Prabhupada is saying that about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, did you know what material life means? He says. He says in that article. He says, so you can't follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said. You are in this world and you are thinking that you will become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day. That's not going to happen, he said. You can forget it. Right there, very clearly Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even know what his material life means. This is what his state was. Whole life, he didn't know what material life means. This is how he lived in this world. So, because he was very internal, inside he was all the time. It's there in the article, you can see it there. So, whereas people who are busy in this world, who have a lot of desires inside, who wants to enjoy life, and who wants a little bit of spiritual life also along with that, for them, you need all this. Which one? Varnashrama dharmam and all other rules and regulations and everything what we have brought in. But you can't speak all these things to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can see there Satsurupa and others asking questions to Prabhupada about that. Because they were not getting that point very clear. They were saying that, oh, Prabhupada, we thought we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, who can follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said. Prabhupada's answer was like that. He says, I have told you lot to chant 16 rounds, you are struggling. You can't even do that. And you want to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said. He asked this question directly to them. Harisori and Satsarup and a few others were there. And they were still thinking, oh, we are all following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He says, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu you are going to follow? You can't follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not even know what material life means, he said. It's there in the article, you can read it. So there are things like this which you may not pick up when Prabhupada says these things. You have to know this very well, where they stand and where we stand in these things. Simply start thinking, oh, I am born into this movement because it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this movement. So I am as good as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 50 years, I will be like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's all madness. It's not going to happen. They have no vasanas inside. Everything has gone. Vasana chayam completely gone. And they are in a state totally different. That is why it says here that for them, they have already understood what Vedam is meant for. Mahaprabhu and all, they have come through that Vedic tradition, isn't it? So, for them, they don't need to be told what is the goal of life or how do you reach there. They have already given up everything. This world is not important for them anymore. World has no meaning to them. Exactly. He doesn't live in this world. Loga ba here, Bhagavatam says, they are people who are not in this world, they are outside this world. So, that is the situation. So, Krishna is saying here, so, they come to the, for them, there is no karma to perform. What karma have they got to do? So those who have come to that state and they are tatvena anascha, then they are situated in that state without knowing this principle. Those who are engaged in the karma, Krishna is mentioning there. That is that tatvena anascha vandi, he mentions there, isn't it? In that verse, you will see there that. That tatvena chavantite. Natumam abhijanadi tatvena tascha yantite. Tatvena tascha yantite. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature will fall down. Tatvena in reality. Chavanti, fall down. Chavanti, fall down. So, sometimes when you study from the books, this kind of things will happen. We will misunderstand things. It's not, spiritual life is not all from the books. That we have to know. Spiritual life is not everything from the books. Books you can use it for, but it is a tradition more than the books. That tradition and those who lived that life and perfected it, they are the best example. More powerful than the books. Books will only give you some guideline. Books, although Bhagavatam, what is Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is nothing but the life of those personalities who followed this tradition. And that's what Bhagavatam is all about. Starting Jadabharata, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Narada Maharshi, Ambarish, Vritrasura, Akrura, Uddhava. All of them, what did they do? They followed this tradition and they realized finally the truth. And that's what we find in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So, what will happen is, So, tatvena anashyavandi. Now, look at this way. You are performing some worship of some form, some deity in somewhere, some temple. You're worshipping there. And then you will say that you need the temple, the worship is necessary, and deity worship is going on. So, what will happen when you know the tattvam? What will happen is, Krishna says, tattva inadas chayantide, isn't it? Tattva inadas chayantide. If you know the tattvam, what will happen is, it will give more importance to bhakti. Bhakti will become important. Bhakti will become important. So what will happen is, this Krishna whom I am worshipping in the temple, and that same Krishna is inside me, in the heart, as a soul, who is present inside, and that will actually regenerate or reinforce our bhakti with more stress on the import of the whole thing, the philosophical import or the principles of Krishna consciousness will become stronger. Bhakti and dhyanam, meditation, will become stronger in a person. Otherwise, it will simply become a karma. Suppose somebody is engaged in deity worship and he does not understand the tattvam behind it. He is doing the deity worship as he is told. Day after day he is doing the worship and he is thinking, going on in that route. But he has not understood the tattvam, principle behind it. What will happen is, he will fall down one day. He will not stay in that position. He will always be in a shaky situation. That is where this understanding is important. Whereas Krishna is saying, if the understanding is good, what he is worshipping, the process, how it is, that it is Krishna who is inside me as the Antaryami. With that concept, if he is worshipping, there is no possibility of falling down. There is no possibility of falling down. Otherwise, what will happen is that if you will see your own yourself, you can look at things. Those who have no understanding of these principles of bhakti, what Krishna has spoken here, generally what will happen is the whole thinking will go behind deity worship in such a way, I have to build big temples, I have to make a committee, I have to have huge funds coming in, and we need to have a lot of people working in the temple. All this misunderstanding will come from that. Why? Because proper understanding is not there. This is what will develop into. Spiritual wife will develop into that because he is always thinking the deity there is different from me. And eventually what will happen is that I am providing everything for the deity. It will happen the other way. Reverse way it will start happening. And then sometimes he will think, it's no harm if I give a lot of gold to the deity. I will dress, make the whole temple in gold. There's so many places people doing this. People making the whole temple in gold. Tons and tons of gold they collect and build the temple with that. And then other things will come from that. We want a big festival, 10 or 15 days lasting, and thousands of people should come. And that is another way of going that deity worship will turn into, in a different directions. Krishna is saying here, that is not proper worship of me. Proper worship is this understanding, what Krishna says in this chapter. So, in other words, instead of Krishna influencing him in his way of life and changing that, he will become more or like an administrator of Krishna. He will become like a secretary to Krishna. He will think Krishna is standing there in the temple. I have to do all these things for Krishna. And he start making plans in his own way. This will happen. Turn out to be like this. So, what is the reason? What is that Krishna is mentioned here? Tatvenela chavantite. The last line. Last line. That is what will happen. He has fallen down already. He does not know what he is doing. He is doing things in complete ignorance in ajnanam. So, because he forgets the principle that Krishna is in the temple to execute bhakti towards him. And bhakti means this first understanding that Krishna is the Antaryami of me and everyone in this world. If that understanding is not there, it will become very bureaucratic. The temple will become very bureaucratic. There will be more positions and And it will become worse than a material organization. There will be managers and presidents and secretaries and all things will going on. And you will start wondering, where have I ended up at the end? This is happening all over the world. These things are going on. Why? Because they have lost the spirit of bhakti. What Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, they never had time to read it or to understand that. They thought all this management, committees, meetings, seminars and courses and everything is bhakti. This is the sad thing. What can you do? It ends up like that. It's kind of degradation that has happened. It's nothing you can do. It is just that the people who have taken over these kind of things, they have not read Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita properly and understood it. If there is bhakti, how wonderful it will be. Though people who are properly engaged in bhakti, they cannot see any living entity. In everyone, Krishna's presence has to be first. That deity whom you are worshipping at the temple is in everybody's heart. Where is the question of any mismanagement or ill-treatment for anyone in that state? There is no question of that. Because that realization is not there. Their approach, relationship with Krishna is in a different level. They are thinking they are maintaining Krishna. That thoughts will come to them later. Instead of Krishna maintaining us, we will start maintaining Krishna later. That will happen to us. So, anyway, he is always thinking, I am doing so many things for Krishna. I am looking after him. These thoughts will start developing inside. So, and when they go and look at Krishna, they will see how much gold Krishna has got all around his body. How much. And that you can, if you want to see the gold, you can go to jewelry shop. You can see there also plenty of gold. You don't have to be. And then you are saying, oh, Krishna's got so much gold. He looks very good with all this gold around him. If gold is that makes Krishna attractive, then this is what will be the result. So this situation Krishna is saying here, why this attitude has come? Why this attitude? What is the reason behind it? That is the reason behind it. They did not understand the tattvam behind it. Tattva jnanam will help bhakti proper, will keep the bhakti in the right situation, and it will develop bhakti in a person. Tattva jnanam develops bhakti in a person. So, one who executes bhakti with tattva jnanam, or tattva jnanam, bhakti with tattva jnanam, that is called tattvika bhakti. Tattvika bhakti. So, for such a person, his goal will be only bhakti will be his goal. Nothing else can be his goal in life. Nothing outside will be his goal. Only that bhakti will be his goal. Because he knows very well what he realizes inside is more important than rest of the world. Because everything what you show outside is only helping you to boost your false ego. That's all it is what it does. Everything what you do outside is only to boost your false ego. Therefore, he will not go in that track. He will not go in that direction. Because for them, ahangara poshanam. Ahangara poshanam means boosting the false ego is important for him. So, not shoshanam. Shoshanam is opposite of poshanam. Shoshanam means bringing it down. Idea behind bhakti is to take away the ahangaram from inside, false ego from inside. Instead, what will happen is, ahangaram will keep building up more and more. And what will happen? The ahangaram will boost to such a level that you will start thinking that he is looking after Krishna. That stage will come. And whatever he may do, whatever he does, all his worship, deity worship and everything, whatever it is, does for Krishna. And if he has come to know that inside that Antaryami is doing that, and if he realizes Antaryami inside, then he has escaped. Then he has escaped from here. So that important it is. It is easy to put it in front of the world that we are devotees and all that. That's all fine. But these subtle principles of deity worship and how Antaryami realization, that if he has realized it properly and all this bhakti is developed inside in the proper way, then you can say that he has understood the tattva. And that is what Krishna is saying there. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhoktaja prabhu revacha. Nadumam abhijanadi tatve nadaschayantite. Tatve nadaschayantite. Tattvam without tattvam, if he execute bhakti, chayantite, he will fall. That is the strong warning in that verse. Without tattvam, if you execute bhakti, you will fall one day. It will not last very long. It will not last very long. Somehow or the other, maya will trick you. At that time, it will take you away. So, here, whereas, if all these, what Krishna has spoken here, that all the worship, puja, deity worship, service, everything what you do, if it is finally to know Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami, then he has escaped. Then he has escaped. If he has not done that, tatvena chayantite. He will fall. He will fall. Chuti. Chuti will happen to him. Therefore, because it is like that, if you worship a form outside, how will it be? Worship is okay. But without knowing this, simply see the form outside and worship, what will happen? That's the next verse. You can see that. Yanti deva vrata devan. Pitran yanti pitra vrataham. Bhutani yanti bodeja. Madhya yanti madhya jinopimam. Yanti deva vrata devan. Pitarnyandi pitarvrataham Bhutani yandi bhudejyam Yandi madhya jinopimam. Again, yandi deva vrata devan Pitaryandi pitarvrataha Bhutani yandi bhudejya Yandi madhya jinopimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. So, Yandi Deva Vrata Devan Pitri Yandi Pitri Vrata Bhutani Yandi Bhudeja Yandi Man Yajino Pimam. Krishna says. Now, it is little complicated, this. Let us understand this properly. In Sanatana Dharma, in the Vedic tradition, there are so many forms worshipped, isn't it? There are so many forms worshipped. In sometimes, it is in the form of ghosts. Some people worship, they are also in the Sanatana Dharma. And some people are stuck in the Shraddham and Pitru Devadas worship of them. So there are some people, they feel very highly indebted to the parents and grandparents. And they feel every morning they will offer something to their parents or grandparents who have departed from this world. And they are not particularly very concerned about worshipping another form. They feel very strongly that we are worshipping our parents and grandparents. They will provide everything, will look after us in that way. The problem is, if you start analyzing all these things, there are a lot of holes in all these things. It's not very straightforward. That you will know. You can't answer all the questions if with this. There are many holes here. Krishna is saying here that Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, demigods you are worshipping. Some people are worshipping. Some people are worshipping the forefathers. Some people are worshipping other ghosts and spirits. Isn't it? You know that it is there, ghosts and spirits. I think everywhere in the world it exists. Worshipping ghosts and spirits. It's not that only in the Vedic tradition. In other traditions also, there are ghosts and spirits. Worshipping ghosts and spirits. So, if you look into all over the world, you will see there that people who worship ghosts and spirits are a lot. A lot of people. But everybody doesn't worship in the proper understanding of self-realization, is there? It doesn't happen. So, therefore, and there are people who worship the forefathers because Krishna is saying here, if you follow that process, you will reach there at the end. You will reach there. Therefore, you should take to my principles, what I have spoken to you, because knowing me as Antaryami inside and my presence inside, if you worship that, then you will reach the proper destination. Krishna puts that in that verse. Now the question will come that, should we stop the other things then? That's the next question. People will ask, should I stop my Shraddham, what I am doing, Shraddha ceremony? Or there are some people who worship other forms also, isn't it? Should they stop all that? No, that's not what it means. If you worship in that form also, say you are worshipping the ancestors, even there, if this understanding there, that Antaryami is present in them and worship them, it will not cause any problem. Strictly speaking, this worship of one form and one God is only in Sanatana Dharma, not in any other religions. Look at other religions. Let me explain this to you. If you look at it properly, only in Sanatana Dharma, that one, worship of one in different forms is accepted. In other religions, what they are saying is that here you are worshipping one form. After leaving the body, you may reach another place. What will happen there? There is no clear answer to that yet. They don't know what form will be. One interview was there in BBC. It was very interesting. And what happened was, person who went to the church regularly, and she believed very strongly that after the death, she will join the husband in the spiritual world. So the person was asking in the interview asked her that, do you believe in that? She said, I do believe in it, but I have a little problem there, she said. When I get there, how will I recognize my husband? Because the body has gone here, and you are there, you don't know in which body you will be, and how which body your husband will be. So when you have, these are the holes I'm saying, when you relate your spiritual life with all these things, worship of the demigods, worship of the forefathers, worship of the ghosts and spirits, and life after death, something you are planning from here, sitting here, there will be a lot of holes in that, which we'll discuss next, tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.